night again. I hope that you're happy, healthy, and safe wherever you are tonight. You're listening to the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis, and we've got a lot coming up tonight. It is absolutely gorgeous right now. We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studios, and we have a lot to catch up on because it was a gorgeous weekend. I think everyone's trying to get as much summer in as possible to really enjoy this weather, and you have to start taking some mental photos of how gorgeous it is because you'll be in the dead of winter thinking, oh, if only I had enjoyed my summer more. You've got to really soak it in. Soak it in, people.
Andy Mazur, I don't know if people know this, is a photographer on the side and takes beautiful, beautiful, gorgeous photographs of the city. And today he was going to go out and hit Northerly Island and kind of, you know, kind of South Loop, South Shore area. And I said, there's some beautiful, you know, he said, this is the perfect time to go now, this time of year when, you know, it's sunny and, but not completely, you know, a little bit overcast, which I guess makes for nicer pictures.
Oh, I imagine, because it probably makes some of the colors pop more. If you don't have brilliant sunshine.
Right.
A little bit of cloud cover probably improves that. And this has been really good workout weather, too. I hope that if you do enjoy working out. I don't. So this helps me get out there and do a little bit of running. I did 6 days of running.
Oh, that's great.
I did that. I'm up to 4 miles. It's run walking, let's be honest.
Run walk, yeah.
That I have a running app that gives you, you know, it says a warm up with 5 minutes of brisk walking or jogging, and then you run, then you walk, then you walk and run again. And I went past that, but I still, you're supposed to do 3 days a week, but it has like day one, day two, day three of week one.
Right.
So I've done day one of week one 6 times.
So that's good. Sounds good. It sounds like a lot. I actually, I like to bike. That's what I find myself doing now.
I was wondering about that as a workout. Hey, Andy Mazur, how are you doing tonight?
I'm good.
About your photography.
Yeah.
And
that was nice.
Free plug.
Would that be accurate that having a little bit of cloud cover helps colors pop a little bit?
Yeah, once in a while. I mean, it depends on where the sun is, too. If it's a sunny day, you don't want to be shooting right into it.
No.
Oh, no, of course. Then you just have a shadow of whatever it was you wanted to take a picture of.
Which is why it's always so uncomfortable when people are taking those pictures of you and you have to stand with your face in the sun.
I mean, no kidding. Your photographs, I was saying to Patty, and I was saying it behind your back, even though it was on the air, are just spectacular.
Thank you.
You really have found a nice, you know...
It keeps me sane.
I want to say second career because you're better than it just being a hobby. Like, you shoot beautiful pictures.
Are you working professionally, like, for weddings and things like that?
You know, weddings are too much pressure to me.
I think you can't
do it again.
Right.
You know? Okay. I got that the first. I didn't get that the first time. Can you do that again?
Yeah. I have a friend who's an artist who works on commission and works with acrylics and gels and oils and that kind of thing. She refuses anymore to do portraits because people, you know, see themselves or their loved ones in a certain way.
Yeah.
And I think she's excellent and captures the images perfectly. But she, you know, she went through this guy hired her to do a portrait of his wife. I thought it looked fantastic. He had her redo it, I think, 10 times.
No. Ugh.
Yeah, and she's finally like, no, it's not even worth the money anymore.
It really
to go
isn't.
That.
Yeah. I would agree.
So.
Yeah, it's a fun hobby. It's an expensive hobby. I will tell you that for if you want to get good product. But it does kind of keep me a little sane because I get my exercise doing photography.
Yeah. Because
I'll either drive or bike to the lake.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden I've walked 6 miles. I'm like, wait a minute, where am I?
And by the way, our bike paths in this city are spectacular.
They're doing a great job with them.
Oh my God! Have you guys tried the new one by Navy Pier here?
I have not, but anywhere where there's an extra curb, where there's a curb between traffic and you, those are the best ones. I wish, and I know that's a lot of laying out of cash for that and disrupting traffic, especially with construction. But I don't feel that safe with just the painted lines.
Right.
That's not really.
There are some, like 18th Street has the I don't know if you call them bumpers. Or whatnot. They're just kind of, they're stand up, you know, there's like it's almost like a prod.
Okay.
And then a few steps later, there's another one. And that's
what do you mean by a prod?
Like, it just kind of, it's almost like a cone.
A cone,
yeah,
okay.
A straight cone.
Because they're like poles.
Or rubber.
Right, they have those up and down Elston as well. They've got some of those.
Yeah.
And they have, the parked cars are actually in between traffic and the bike lane. So it looks as though the cars are parked
those.
In the middle of the street.
Yeah, I've seen those.
I've noticed that too on Elston.
I'm sure the drivers hate them, but they're great for the bikers.
I agree. Yeah, let's talk a little bit more about how you're spending your summer and maybe some more photography with Andy Mazur. He's hanging out. You're listening to the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. Give us a call or text us at 312-981-7200. Again, the number is 312-981-7200, and we'll talk to you in a moment on 720 WGN. Patty Vasquez Club with Club.
Speaking of club, wait, because Susie said supper club.
With $100. It's the Patty Vasquez and $100 club. I know.
Can I get my membership card?
Yes.
You're in.
You have a freaking fire stamp. I don't know what that means. I apologize.
It's, right. Free membership for a year.
Yes.
And then just give us a credit card number, and then next year it'll start. You know?
I don't know what you get a discount on that, but there it is.
Our friendship.
Okay.
Our undying friendship.
That's how it's going.
Yeah. Our undying friendship.
When did you start taking photography more seriously? Or had you always been sort of focused? Because my sister was a photographer, really had a wonderful eye.
Yeah.
But it was also the 80s and 90s. Obviously, photography was so different with having to develop things yourself if you wanted to be sort of artful with things.
This is going to sound like a real bad pun here, but I got exposed to it early. My dad... took pictures in black and white and developed them in our basement. We had a little darkroom in the basement.
Oh, see, that's cool.
Yeah.
So nice. We would go around. I remember as a kid going around with a little tiny little Instamatic back then.
Was that like a Polaroid?
Yeah, it was the little flat ones that looked the little rectangle.
Ones?
Yeah.
When you put the flash on it, it was like the cube
spun around.
And you can only take four pictures.
Yes.
And then you had to replace the cube.
Right. Yeah. And then you had to replace the film. It was like 18 exposures on the film or something like that.
Yeah.
You had to,
12, 24, and 36.
Yeah. So it was.
Not
it,
that I had any of those.
It was fun. We used to go out and we would just walk around and take pictures of things. And I think I got more serious about it when I was in San Diego and I moved out there for a while, because whenever I would come home, I missed the city so much that I would want to take a picture of it so that I could bring something back with me to San Diego. And I got more serious about it when I came back and was still kind of in between things around here. And I just decided, you know, why not? I'll just start taking some and build a website and see what happens.
Oh, that's lovely.
Up until, I want to say, like, maybe even, no, I still do it, because I took a trip to Iceland last year and I print out all the pictures in hopes of making albums. So I'm like maybe a year or two behind, but I still, I mean, I absolutely don't have your eye. I just like to take pictures of friends and scenery and you know, wherever we are.
It's a really weird industry now, because I actually have worked for a company that's based in Wisconsin and I still kind of moonlight with them every once in a while, just taking high school yearbook pictures. And we do a lot of sporting events for high schools and plays and things of that nature. And it's interesting because everybody wants to take the iPhone picture while you're there.
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
And you hate to be rude, but see, like, yeah, excuse me, I'm taking the professional one here now, you know?
So you have the different lenses and everything that you always
say. Yeah, you have different lenses, and, you know, we're accounting for light, we're accounting for other things that, you know, your iPhone can't really account for.
Oh,
yeah.
No doubt about it. And the different elements that were, especially with zooming in or zooming out.
Yeah, you don't want to zoom in on the iPhones. It's just so grainy.
Oh.
You can't, I mean, I don't know if it's on, if the 10 has gotten better with that, but with the 7,
You took some really nice pictures as well when the Cubs won the World Series and not just the obligatory, because, you know, I, of course, went by with my iPhone and snapped the W flag, Miskatuli, you know, when it said 0000, but you took some beautiful shots of that too.
I went a couple days after. Just because I wanted everything to kind of settle down. And I wanted to take pictures of the people signing the wall.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was really interesting to see some of the things that were going on over there, because obviously it hadn't happened in forever. And there were people taking pictures of people with pictures down there. So like an old photo of someone's father or someone's grandfather. They were just taking it against the brick wall. And I just kept snapping and taking pictures of that. I mean, it had to get the sign with all zeros on it. The flag one night was just illuminated by the sun, because the sun was coming down, and it looked like the only thing glowing was the flag. And yeah, you just have to look around. There's so many places that I still need to go to in this city.
How much has being a photographer changed the way you just look at things on a day-to-day basis? Really?
Yeah, that's a great question.
It's the truth, because I can't stop taking pictures of things from these studios. Because, I mean, this is a view that photographers were paid to be this high up in a city like this, to be able to take photos of the entire downtown area.
Right.
And Navy Pier and the Ferris wheel.
You even make traffic look good. And so what is that called? Is it opening the shutter or closing it when you see, like, the lights just kind of flashing by you?
It's more of a long exposure. Yeah.
Okay.
It's the long exposure working better. They work better at night with a tripod.
Okay.
Don't try it without one, because I guess you could try those without one, because it, you know, sometimes your mistakes are better than your actual setup shots.
Oh, sure. On the way, we accidentally push the button while you're trying to put the camera up.
Or you move the lens a little bit, the zoom lens. I was taking pictures of the Navy Pier fireworks a couple of years ago, and I accidentally, the fireworks were going off, and I accidentally moved my tripod. I'm like, oh, that's going to be a terrible one.
Oh.
And I went back and looked at it. I'm like, oh, that is pretty cool. I mean, Navy Pier is kind of shaking and the fireworks are shaking. So it was, sometimes the mistakes work out better than the actual intended shot.
Did you see, and I have to ask you this, because everybody, all of our staff, I think John Williams started it by posting pictures of the old Tribune Tower where we used to work. And I know they're sandblasting or they're power washing, but they're slowly taking down where it said WG and radio.
I know, it's sad.
I've heard, and I don't know who posted this. Maybe it was Spike Odell, because obviously he's following that progress too. But he was saying that he'd heard they were going to clean it and then put them back up because it was such a historical part of the building.
I heard our old boss Mary June Rose say that as our former program director, who was awesome,
it's,
by the way.
It's interesting over there because, I mean, before we left, I had to document. I mean, I had to go through there. And I remember one day I was just walking through the lobby and the security guards were looking at me like, what are you doing?
Right. I tried getting back in on Saturday night.
Didn't work?
No, it didn't work.
That's
it, we're done.
So you couldn't get anywhere in the building?
No, you can't get anywhere. Not from the loading dock, not to the old studio. And there are a lot of things that are still, there's some monitors that are still in our studios and the board. The board is still there.
Yeah. Is it really?
I was surprised.
I bet that goes to the NBC.
Oh, to the Museum of Broadcast Communication.
That makes sense. That'd be a good idea.
Wouldn't that be cool? They have the old board that Spike and Wally and Bob used to
And it seems like that board's really old. I mean, it seems as
it's had its fair share of carvings. Remember back in the day when you would, you know, carve into the board? I didn't, but a lot of people
would. Or spill Diet Coke or something like that.
No names being mentioned.
Yeah. You really do capture. Yeah, right. You really do capture a lot of great photography here. Oh, and the waves, right. What beach is that at? I'm not sure. Oh, it's too late now. It's gone.
Oh, it's Montrose.
It was Montrose?
It was Montrose. I was actually laying down on the concrete steps there. Mm-hmm. I must have taken about 300 shots that day, and that was the one that turned out.
Do you get to enjoy yourself when you go places anymore, or are you always lining up a shot?
Yeah, but you know what? I do find myself doing that a lot now, and my friends get annoyed whenever I'm around. I'm like, wait, I got to take this. You know, I'll be walking over.
There he goes.
I was going over to a concert at Northern Ireland last summer, and I walked over the bridge where the trains come through. And there's that, it looks like a train graveyard down there every once in a while. So I'm like, I got to take some pictures of this.
Oh, yeah. That is cool. By Roosevelt, a little south of there.
Yeah, just as you walk over towards the museum campus. And it's just, I can't stop. I'm kind of addicted at this point, and it's kind of too late to turn back.
You also make the underbelly of the L look really good, too.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah, that was one over by, I think that was at Grace. And no, it was at Sheffield and...
So about around the ballpark area?
Yeah, it was right near the ballpark. Sheffield and Waveland. I think it was right there at that corner by the bleacher bar.
I used to live off there.
That's such a great area.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I know that your prints are available for purchase. How do people go about doing that?
Yeah, I've got my own website. It's just andymazurphoto.com. It's MASUR for those that aren't familiar. Andymazurphoto.com. Sold a few things off there, and it's easy. It's easy ordering, and you can always send me an email if there's something that's not on there that you want me to take a picture of it.
Take a whack at
it? Yeah, I'll go take a look at things around here in the city. I like doing that.
I sent Andy on a mission, but don't say it because
I won't. Because it's a secret mission.
Yes, it's a secret mission of something to photograph.
A surprise or something.
And it was something that I hadn't seen yet. So this is another one of those things that I thank Andrea for alerting me to the situation so I can go do it.
Pleasantly happy.
Follow Andy on Twitter and give him an assignment if you want to
you can do that too.
Hire him for some photography.
You know, I will say this, time's a little tight these days with baseball, but you know, there's an off season coming up.
Yes.
Fall's a great time to do photography as well. Thank you so much, Andy.
Thanks for the opportunity. Thank you.
Of course. Then we're going to come back in just a little bit. We're going to find out about playing polo after the news. First quick break, and then we'll find out what's going on in the news with Andrea on 720 WGN. The Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. A few weeks ago, Andrea had the opportunity to play polo at one of the nation's oldest polo clubs in the United States, and we are welcoming some of those folks in studio to learn more about the sport of polo. And hey, guys, come on and have a seat. We're already on the air. Grab a seat there. And I just want to introduce yourselves. How are you doing, sir?
Good. My name is Tomas.
Can you come on up closer to the microphone so we can hear your beautiful voice? No worries.
How's that?
Hello, Tomas.
Tomas, but I was told, Patty, I can call him Toto.
Toto. I prefer Toto.
So. Why do you prefer Toto? Is this a nickname from family and friends?
Yeah, it's unique. It's mine, you know. Everybody has a lot of different same names, but Toto is mine, you know.
Wait, ask Toto. Wait, Toto, have you ever... Are you the one who appeared in the music video?
No.
Oh, okay. That was your...
That was my friend, a
comrade, a teammate, Patty, who was in a Britney Spears video, and they never tease him about it, right?
Only when he sleeps.
Yeah.
Right. When they tease him while he's sleeping. Exactly. Is he that threatening?
Yeah.
Did somebody bring in, is this a sword? What is this?
This is a saber sword.
Is it a saber sword?
Yeah, as I understand, we're going to be sabering champagne bottles in the studio.
We are?
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Yes. Surprise!
I've never done this indoors before.
Not to drink, but no. this is a tradition.
Okay.
So we did a segment. Daphne, our wonderful friend Daphne Ortiz, set this up through the Oak Brook Polo Club, and we did this Patty for Weekend Break on Channel 9. And she said, I have this really cool idea. Why don't you kind of explain polo to everybody? You know, it's not just this, you know, aristocratic sport. Everyone can watch it and play it and learn how to do it and kind of introduce, you know, the common folk like us to polo. So I learned all the traditions through Danny and Toto. And why don't you guys explain what the sword is for to start the polo match?
Yes, Danny, tell us all about it.
So actually, the sabering of champagne bottles goes way back. I believe back to World War I, when I think the British and the founders of Veuve Clicquot Champagne, or Moët Hennessy as it is today, for the soldiers to open champagne bottles, they would actually take their swords to open, so they wouldn't open traditionally. And somehow that weaved its way into the world of polo on the British side. And so that's what we kind of been doing ever since. It's a little fun little activity that we do at the end of the first chucker, just to kind of kick off and toast and, you know, get everyone pouring champagne and drinking.
Well, there you go. Well, that's what you want. So you want to swing heavy objects while riding a horse.
Yes.
What's the first chucker?
A first chucker. So a chucker is a period. So a period in or a quarter in basketball.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same concept. We just call it a chucker in polo.
And how many chuckers are there?
There is approximately 6 chuckers.
So it's not a quarter.
It's not a quarter.
That's why it's a chucker.
You can call it, but there would be 6 quarters in polo.
Would be very confusing. So 6 chuckers. How long is a chucker?
7.5 minutes.
7.5 minutes. I like that. Let's not be specific.
Yeah, exactly right.
Toto, how long have you been playing polo?
Since I was 13 years old.
And how were you introduced to polo? Was it something that was like a lot of your friends playing polo?
No, basically, my father played as a professional, and runs in the family. And I have a twin brother that play, and we just picked it up.
Are you a little competitive with your twin brother?
Yes.
Is he still playing?
Yeah, he's the one that beat me this Sunday.
So. Oh, he did?
I need a rematch.
Yeah, no kidding.
They said, you know, and they were funny, Patty. They said, oh, it's so easy. You swing it like a golf club, and I'm okay at golf, so I thought I would have this completely down. And I was hitting it, the ball, at the end of the mallet, which is like how you do it in croquet, and that's absolutely wrong. You can admit it. You can say it. I did it purely wrong. But I learned by the end of the training the error of my ways. So,
no, you did fantastic. It's tough. Like when I first did it, it was incredibly hard. And then to make it harder when you're on a horse with a 55-inch mallet, it's comparable to hitting a golf ball.
Right. Well, and
while moving at 25, 30 miles per hour.
Right. Well, shouldn't you be allowed to, as a newbie, maybe hit it with the wide side of the mallet? No.
You do hit it with the wide side of the mallet.
Oh. Yeah, I was trying to hit it with the...
Oh, with the small part.
The small part, yeah.
Oh, I see. I see. You were trying to do it the harder way.
She was growing croquet on it.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And they said, no, hit it with the side. So, and then once I learned how to do that...
Was it easier?
Much easier.
All right.
Much easier.
Well, and I'm trying to think. I don't believe I've ever been to a polo match. I know that they played a few years ago on North Avenue Beach. Are they still doing that international polo competition down there?
I know they did it in 2011 and 2012, and they did it in 2016.
Yeah.
As to whether or not it's returning, I'm not sure.
Right.
As to whether or not beach polo is a very kind of nostalgic thing about our sport.
Really?
Because you can do it in very unique and kind of sexy or luxury kind of settings. So beach is one of them. They actually do snow polo as well.
Oh, gosh.
And you see that.
No.
You see snow polo.
But the ball's white.
What's that?
But the ball is white.
Yeah, but they use actually a orange ball.
That makes sense.
Or arena ball for that case. And you see that in like St. Moritz or Aspen, high altitude where the snow kind of remains consistent in a certain way because you're looking at about 4 feet of snow that's compacted into about a few feet, so making it safe for footing for the horses.
So Toto, how do you, how do you learn to both work with your horse and your own competitiveness, right? Because I'm just thinking of any time you're playing a game like hockey, everyone's up against the boards, they're all kind of in one big group, and now you're talking about these, you know, horses who are incredibly strong and powerful racing at each other. How do you manage all of that?
I don't know. To tell you the truth, I grew up on a horse all my life.
So you can't explain it. Just know.
It's just natural for me. Just jump on a horse, go fast, stop, turn, hit the ball.
Yeah, it's natural.
Okay.
It is so I was on the horse and I thought, okay, good. I've been on horses before. Yeah,
sure.
On a trail ride. These horses
are totally different.
Oh my gosh, they're fast, and of course they're agile. And they took both of you guys to stand on either side of the horse, right? So it wouldn't move. Like, oh, please don't move, please don't run. Just stand.
But it's fun. You gotta try it.
You have
the opportunity. Well, she has. Yeah, I have not. I love riding horses.
You need to try this.
And this is English style. Are the saddles English style? Yeah.
So yeah, there's nothing to hold on to.
Well, you're not supposed to hold on to that when you ride Western either. It's more of a rest. It's more of a rest for your wrist. That's my understanding of how I learned how to ride. You're not supposed to, you don't hold on to that. It's kind of a holder for your reins when you get off of the, never mind.
Yeah, no, I was death gripping. on the saddle, right?
Yeah, you actually marked the whole saddle.
So. I know. My nails are at
least. You owe me a saddle.
I know. I owe you a hat, too.
Yes.
Well, speaking of the equipment, how can someone get involved? Like, how can they start riding if they want to try it out? And, is it expensive to give it a shot?
If I were to make it a comparison to another sport, I would say for kids who are teenagers and what have you wanting to get into the sport, it's comparable to hockey.
Okay.
If you're beginning to take lessons, and then once you kind of get your footing and you become good at horsemanship skills and your game is progressing where you actually want to buy houses. I'm sorry, not horses, not houses. It's almost equivalent to
or
that.
Houses are your horses.
Yes.
To buying horses, then you're kind of getting in the realm of buying a boat.
Sure.
And taking care of a boat.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, because of the boarding and the feeding and taking care of a horse. Are there people, I would imagine, who share? They do like a horse share program?
Yeah, you can come and rent horses and for the month, for the season, per game,
But you have more than, you have multiple horses.
Yeah, I have 10 horses here.
Okay, well.
And who's your favorite?
Right now, I got like two, Coqueta and Leyva. So those are my machines.
You're not supposed to have favorites. Oh, that's for kids. I'm sorry. That's just in my family.
These are just my
your
work,
warriors.
My work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and that's the thing is that, again, a relationship with a horse is pretty important in this, I think, in this arena. And how can somebody who's never ridden a horse, though, can they call the club and say, hey, I'd love to give this a shot or bring my kids out and see if it's something they would be interested in? First, you got to learn how to ride the horse.
You do. I mean, that's going to be some of the basic skills that you're going to want to learn is just being comfortable on a horse.
Right.
Just learning how it moves, how it reacts. Learning parts of the saddle, the reins, and so on and so forth, because you have to be comfortable in the saddle ultimately at the end of the day. And we actually have two polo schools in the western suburbs up in Barrington, and then Tomas's brother Matias runs Go Polo out in Bolingbrook.
I didn't realize there was more than one polo club.
I know, it's
in
so
the Chicagoland
cool.
area,
and it's such a fun event to watch and to bring your family to. Bring your kids. I mean, it's really neat. It's like Pretty Woman. Only it's real life.
Is that the comparison you guys think of? How often does someone say, oh, I remember this from Pretty Woman?
Yeah.
Oh, all the time.
Really?
Every match.
Every match, the women with their bonnets and replacing the pieces of sod.
Yeah. But to Andrea's point, I mean, it's not all about artisticrafts these days. It's not all about, polo has its stereotypes.
Yeah.
Pretty Woman is one of them. Mm-hmm. The Royal Family is another one.
Mm-hmm.
But in retrospect, it's very affordable. It's very accessible. We're not necessarily a club, and you have to be a member to be a spectator. You can come and enjoy a match anytime on one of our Sundays and show up with your family. Like you said, it's a phenomenal family activity. Kids can run around. They can go out into the field during halftime and help stomp in the divots for us. Actually, kids are probably the best at it because they're running around most of the time, so they're doing more work than the adults are. It's all around for everyone.
I think it's so cool.
It is very cool.
I learned some fun facts that I think you guys would want to share, that the first polo match in Chicago was played where?
It was in Lincoln Park in 1879.
Isn't that cool?
The polo has about 140-year history in Chicago. A really, really deep, deep history.
That's wonderful.
Yeah
I was unaware completely of... it's not the kind of thing that took hold in sort of the landscape of American sports.
If we were around today in the 30s and 40s, we would be saying something different.
More so? Yeah.
More so. I mean, polo matches would draw 30 to 40,000 people.
What?
Yeah.
All right. Well, get out and catch a polo match. I have to, we forgot. I had scheduled Annabella Val for 7:15. We were supposed to have a phone call with her. So I am so sorry. I don't know if Annabella Val is still available, but she's not. He's just shaking his head at me. Ben's like, I don't know. Let me see if I can get Anna in just a moment, because we have an event coming up as well. We'll catch up with our friends from the, what's the name of the polo club?
Oakbrook Polo Club.
The Oakbrook Polo Club. And I think we're slicing open a champagne bottle. More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening to the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis, and Andrea is proposing something that I'm not sure the rest of the crew is going to. I mean, I'm all for cutting open a bottle of champagne, but I we have cameras on, so they'll know who the culprits were. Well, the radio's on.
Yeah, I'll take the blame for this one. This is very I know we're trying to steer away from this, but a very aristocratic tradition of starting the polo match where you take a sword and you open up a bottle of champagne by taking the sword and slicing it across the top. So it doesn't really, if you do it right, it doesn't really create a mess. It's basically just like popping open the top of the champagne.
Okay.
Which we will donate to charity. Is this true?
And nothing ever gets splashed anywhere, Danny? Nothing makes a mess, Toto? Are you promising me?
Not really.
I think
you're not like really me? Shake the bottle.
Wait, you're not promising me, or it doesn't really make a mess? I know I asked you a
really
question.
It doesn't really make a mess.
No. Maybe this is where we should talk about hops and horses. Horses and hops.
Yeah.
An event you guys have coming up next in 2 weeks.
Three weeks. August 19th. Yes.
Okay, tell us about it.
So horses and hops, a little bit of a break from the traditional champagne that you traditionally see at polo matches, and we decided to create a beer festival around a polo match because we are in the Midwest. We love our beer. There's a lot of fantastic craft breweries that are around our city as well as within the Midwest. So we have decided to do a beer festival. So we have 10 craft brews coming out, Finch, Brickstone, Craft Dig out of St. Louis, which is Billy Bush's, who's actually sponsoring the St. Louis team that's actually coming up for that match. We have Two Fuel Cider that's coming out, Strongbow, Tangled Roots, Noon Whistle. Mm-hmm. So a lot of up-and-coming as well as established brands like Revolution will be out there as well. So we're really excited about it. So we just have 10 breweries, so it's very exclusive to a few. But it's going to be a fantastic match against Chicago, against another big beer town, St. Louis, that's coming up. So we're really excited about it. St. Louis actually used to be a regular back in the day because the Anheuser-Busch family has a huge dynasty in playing polo. And it continues to this day.
Yeah.
So they're excited to come up here and share some of their tradition with us.
I'm a little bit nervous. I just want to get in any trouble for what happens next in case there is a mess. And I'm worried because I want to make sure that I don't want you to get in trouble either. Hey, Ben, can you take this? I need to add another name to our security list. I'm doing it. It's for security. We have another guest coming in.
We're doing a pre-show meeting.
Yes.
Quickly.
The whole schedule is coming together while we're on the air.
Right.
So here, put this name on the guest list as well. You're going to love Daphne Scott. She's a positivity.
Oh, another Daphne.
Exactly. We've got Daphne Scott, Daphne Ortiz in studio, and we are talking to our friends from the Oak Brook Polo Club. And I cannot believe that this is one of the oldest polo clubs in the country, and I'm not familiar with it. You have all these great events coming up, including this one that you're talking about with the beer festival, mm-hmm. and I know there's some other events you have as well.
Yeah, next Sunday we have the Caribbean Cup, which is Oak Brook against Jamaica. Jamaica and Oak Brook has been coming up here for the past 40 years, so we're excited to have them back here in Chicago again. We had them 2 years last year and the year before as well. Adding to your knowledge of polo, Oak Brook used to be the hub of international polo for a good 50 years, and some 30 to 40 countries have made their way through Chicago Plain, all the way from New Zealand to even Cuba before the embargo. Yeah.
What do people tell you about how Chicago polo compares, whether it's weather or the people, the crowds? What have you learned from any of your peers or competitors as how Chicago stacks up against the rest of the world?
Wow, that's a good question. I don't think I've been asked that before. if we were talking like back in the 1950s and 60s, we would have been the apex of the sport.
Ooh.
Yeah, we had the U.S. Open here for 24 straight years, so professional polo existed in Chicago for a very long time. Right now, you know, people have moved on. Tournaments have moved on. Professional polo right now takes place in Wellington, Florida, or West Palm Beach from January through mid-April. So that's where the elite play in the U.S. And then from there, they migrate to other countries, such as in England, which has their high goal season right now, as well as in Argentina, which takes place during the fall.
Very cool. And I heard when Daphne sent us a bunch of fun facts about polo, and you are just a walking encyclopedia when it comes to the stats and the history of the game in the Chicago area and Oak Brook. But I heard that left-handed people cannot play polo?
That's correct. Yeah, so you can only be right-handed. It's for primarily in total jump in here.
Okay,
they can play, but they have to play with
okay,
their right
so
hand.
Okay, so you have to play with your right hand, with the mallet in your right
Everybody's
hand.
Everybody's welcome in Puerto.
Why is that?
I'm sorry. What?
When you run towards each other, if you're left-handed and the other one's right-handed, you crash into each other.
Oh, so, yeah.
It's primarily for safety reasons.
Sure. Yeah. Okay.
So do you have lefties who are hesitant and resistant to playing the way they're supposed to?
No,
because we like to be contrarian.
Yeah. Are you left-handed?
Oh, yeah.
That's right. Okay, so you'd have to put it in your right hand and play.
All right, then.
Could you do that?
Once you start playing, you just forget about it. It's like learning to write.
Yeah.
Even though you're left-handed, you learn to write with the right.
Well, there are a lot of things that aren't, like, I was taught to play pool right-handed and archery and some other things.
Same thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because most of the time you have your instructors, your teachers are going to be right-handed people. So, like, playing golf, it turns out I play better right-handed than left-handed.
Really?
And the golf clubs are easier to come by.
Oh, my God, completely.
I play once every few years.
Yeah,
so
right?
No sense in worrying about lefty clubs. So you guys are going to cut open this bottle of champagne. I have plastic bags. Are you absolutely sure?
Yeah, I'm going to
As the person with more seniority and the person that knows the guy with the sword.
All right.
I don't know. Here, let me see if Ben... Where did we lose? I guess we lost Ben. All right. They're setting up the situation in which to have the sabering. Is that what it's called, Danny?
Yes.
All right. So who's going to do the sabering?
I'll do the sabering.
All right.
Before you do it.
So is the idea that the blade kind of cuts underneath the cork, or is it how exactly do you make sure?
So
how you do it.
Yes. Come closer to your microphone.
So on a champagne bottle, if you take a look at it, and very very discreetly, there's a seam on the champagne bottle.
Okay.
So you want to find that that seam before you cut it,
mm-hmm.
and it's not actually a slice or a cutting off.
It's more of a prying?
It's more of a push,
okay.
is actually what it is. So you find that seam and you run the blade across that seam and it hits the lower lip of the where the cork is, and it just does the rest and it just pops off.
But in order
to do that, you really need the champagne bottle pretty cold.
You need to be pretty cold.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, so do we know how cold this bottle is?
I think it's cold enough.
To keep it on ice to bring it in here. Look, there's plastic bags all over the place. I see someone. I know that Daphne's doing one in here. Andrea is making sure that there's another. Everyone's making plastic bags. All right. So, again, for the record, go to WGNRadio.com. You can watch this on our live stream. And I wish that. Let me see if I could do.
We'll do a video of this.
Should we?
I want you to try this, though, the air, because I know you're, like, nervous about doing this.
Doing what? The sabering?
The sabering.
Okay.
Yeah. I just had one quick tutorial.
Who holds the bottle? Who's the William Tell in this situation? I hold the bottle?
You hold the bottle.
No, you hold the bottle.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not going to hold the bottle when you have the sword.
I'm not having either one of those things. Danny and you can go play in the corner. One of us has to run a radio show.
All right. So I'm going to... So what you do, you already explained, right? That mm-hmm. you have to look at the seams and whatnot. So, and tell everyone this too. Nobody really gets a practice.
No. No one gets a practice.
Nobody gets a practice. I'm going to have here, Daphne, hand it to Danny.
So you're taking off the cage, the cork cage. That's right. What I always call it. I don't know if that's really the name for
it. That's a good description of it.
The cork cage.
I'm doing this over a garbage can. So not quite as, you know... As nice it'll be when you go to the Oak Brook Polo Club. But
so do you ever get anybody who's a little overly zealous with the sabering?
No, I have not.
Okay,
yet.
Good. So that's why I'm gonna stand over here because I might.
But for the most part, I try to get everyone pretty scared about doing it.
Yeah, I would imagine.
To make me feel really bad in the event that they do mess it up.
Do you have to make sure that this blade is somewhat sharpened?
No, actually,
it's better.
This
if it's blunt.
Blade actually, it's a very blunt blade. You can actually use the backside of any butcher knife if you wanted to. And it'll do the exact same thing.
Look as cool as this curved.
It doesn't look as cool as this. This is actually an actual saber sword. Yes. So they actually make these things.
Okay, so go ahead. I guess you're going to go do the sabering, Danny. Toto, you and I will stand. You stand away from me.
Yeah.
I feel as though you're not entirely confident.
We're all friends here.
Yeah, exactly. So
I should go to that corner.
You should go to that corner. You can come stand behind me if you want to hide. We can get underneath the desk.
Then I drink faster.
You drink. You want to be this close to the sabering? All right, so Danny is holding the bottle. He is pointing the blade away from himself.
You definitely. Don't want to do this, right, Patty?
I definitely don't want to do this.
Okay,
Dan, why would I do
one and I'm going to do another?
Okay, so he's going to show you. So he's sliding the blade down the body of the bottle. And oh! Okay.
Get it in there.
You said there was going to be no mess. All right. So, all right, Andre, you sure you want to do
it? It's all over the garbage bag. It's okay. We're okay. It's all over the garbage bag.
That's what happens when you hold the bottle pretty much upside down. Of course, I mean, gravity's going to pull the rest of the champagne out of the bottle. Ben's like, I had nothing to do with this. It's time for a commercial. Andrea's going to do one during the break. More after this on 720 WGN. Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. We're having an off-air yes. production meeting, just trying to figure out what I will hear. Andrea, I was going to tell yes. you about what I saw Jen Zanotti do today, and I want to get Jen Zanotti, our Motivational Monday expert. She's also an expert in jujitsu. She's very positive, and I'm excited because our positivity expert, Daphne Scott, is also coming down, who you guys are going to both. I don't want to build it up too much, but I think you'll both like her very much. Very good friend of mine. But Jen, you did a video today, and last week you did a video on your Facebook page and on Instagram, Jay-Z Beauty and the Beast.
Yes.
And so she does this, she mixes just a half a lemon with ginger, right? And that's it?
Yes, I do half a fresh squeezed lemon, preferably. Mm-hmm. You could use some lemon juice that's unsweetened, a natural lemon juice. And then I probably do like a quarter of a cup in like a mug, and then I put in a teaspoon of either fresh ginger or ground, like organic ground ginger.
How much ginger? Because I saw you, it looked like a couple of scoops, and I thought, wow, that seems
like
strong.
An actual spoon, like teaspoon, yes. like a smaller spoon.
Okay, you know? So this is just, so it's a liquid, so it's just mm-hmm. a liquid with the lemon and the ginger.
So it's just it. Lemon and ginger.
Okay.
No water.
And then you, okay. I mix it, and you like shoot it back.
So she also,
a little, love, like I a love shot amount.
Lemon and I love ginger, so yes. that'd be fantastic.
So here's the thing, when she started the video, she also mentioned a turmeric supplement, and so I'm in my kitchen and I'm not watching the video, so I start making I made lemon, turmeric, and ginger. It's not bad,
it's not wrong,
but I don't know if it's what I don't know, is there, so my question is there a difference in how you mix things together and what why you're taking those two things together, lemon and ginger?
You could
in
take
particular.
Them you could probably add the ginger, I mean the turmeric. I just like it separately because I usually do my capsule supplements, or if I run out of that, I have my fresh turmeric that I'll put just in water. I'm sure it could taste delicious with it all mixed, but just people I've talked to, and one of my doctors, actually, she's Indian, and her sister is like a naturopath, and mm-hmm. she swears by the lemon and ginger, and she's like, it'll build your immune system, you will not get sick, and I mean, besides allergies, like, I've been amazing, knock on wood.
So is this like a first thing in the morning?
Yep, kind first of thing in the morning. Mm-hmm.
That's very doable.
Every morning.
Well, what I do is, and I mentioned this in your thread too, and I think it's a good idea to follow Jen, find out more about jujitsu if you're curious, if you've ever wanted to try that as
absolutely.
As a form of
beginners
self-defense.
Are always welcome.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. and then the video you did with the lemon and ginger, so I've done it every single day for the most part, someday, because you mm-hmm. have your rituals.
For sure.
And again, like today, we had a ritual of kind of settling in, and I completely forgot about our friend Annabelle Val. Yeah. Michael's off and not keeping me to task, and Ben didn't know. Ben, you didn't have the information, so that was on me. But I want to do a public apology to Annabelle Val. She and I are performing together at the Woodstock Opera House for Laughstock coming up on August 17th and 18th. And we're going to be performing on that 17th with Michael Palasek. But, you know, so the ritual of my show, right? I know what's mm-hmm. coming up. We were supposed to settle in and have that conversation, something organic.
Yes.
And then it slipped my mind that we had a guest scheduled.
Right.
So the same thing happens in the morning. I've been doing the exact same thing for about 2 years, two cups of pretty much warm water. Mm-hmm. Just I had read that that's supposed to be good to sort of jumpstart
with
your liver.
With lemon or
no,
just
nothing.
Warm water?
Just warm water.
Oh,
yeah, just
okay.
warm water to sort of jumpstart your circulation in your liver after being asleep. And it feels good. I feel hydrated pretty
it's
much all day.
It's definitely good to drink water in the morning. Like have water. And I think warm, you you can warm it up, but room temp water, I think, is the best. Ice cold water is kind of a shock to the system. Mm-hmm. So, like, I always drink my water, like, room temperature.
Right.
But it's good to have it in the morning to flush out and then take your supplements and your lemon and ginger.
I love shots. The idea of the lemon and the ginger.
It's so good. It's
really
refreshing.
Good. Yeah.
And I'm telling you,
turmeric's got a little
swear
kick.
By it. Yeah. Yeah. That's why I think I like it separately. Okay, I love turmeric.
Just not with the lemon and the ginger
it.
In the morning.
But yes, I keep it separate.
All right. So that was the video from last week. Yeah. So I do two warm glasses of water. Then I wait a little bit and I have the ginger, lemon, and now apparently turmeric all together, which is it's interesting. It's like having a little mini meal. And we'll talk about that when we come back. Timing your meals and things. Because I don't think I'm doing something very smart, but I've also lost 6 pounds. So I will see if... But it's also I ran about 21 miles last week altogether.
That's awesome.
That's a lot of weight in a week. 6 pounds in a week?
About a week and a half, I would
say. That's pretty good.
But I also hadn't been working out at all, really consistently, and that was 6 days of working out.
It could be a lot of water weight, a lot of good stuff. Yeah, but that's good.
And also other things. So anyway, let me take a break here. More with Jen Zanotti. When we come back, follow her on Instagram, Jay-Z Beauty and the Beast. She's loading videos, and I want to talk about the one from today as well and how to time your meals and what kind of nutrients you're taking in. More after this on the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis on 720 WGN. Sorry again, Anna Bellaval. I'm so sorry. She was supposed to be on tonight. I'm so sorry. We are hanging out in the Allstate Showcase studio with Jen Zanotti. She is our Motivational Monday expert, and she's got some great videos up on her Instagram account, as well as great photos of training with the women at Seraphim Jiu-Jitsu in Evanston. And today you posted a video, and it's funny because I had been making a lot of smoothies.
Uh-huh.
And what I usually put in them is everything you did, mm-hmm. including the protein you used. So you had spinach.
Yes.
Blueberries, raspberries.
Yes.
And whey protein.
Uh-huh. And banana.
I don't do the banana.
Yeah.
Banana's a little overpowering.
What's weird? I never start really liking bananas until about a year ago.
Really?
You know, they say your taste changes and stuff. Like, as a kid, I never liked bananas.
Huh. I love bananas.
And I'm the other way around. Bananas. I used to love bananas. I can't stand the smell or taste of them anymore.
Really?
Like, even banana bread or anything. Yeah.
No. See, now I like it. It's weird.
Yeah. Mm. I know, it's a lot of potassium in there.
Yes. I, like, crave bananas.
And it's a great meal on the run.
Yeah.
That's the great thing about it, too. You can throw it in your bag and not really worry about it getting bruised and bumped around as much. Mm-hmm. Although you like the...
I know.
More mushy ones.
I like the mushy bananas.
I like them... No, they can't be ripe. They have to be like...
Before ripe or after ripe?
Before ripe.
Really? So you like the more green one?
Greener, like green, yellow. You guys. Like
so we're total
yellow.
Opposite. Yeah, we're complete opposite.
Yeah.
And you're both crazy.
But you know what, though? Bananas in a smoothie are good. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't you like that?
Oh, it's very overpowering. It's a pretty strong taste.
I was going to say, because the other fruits might mask the taste of the banana.
Mm-mm.
Put some peanut butter in there.
But I also put, still be banana. It's still banana.
It's a banana strong. It's got a strong flavor.
The one thing you didn't put in yours that I put in mine is coffee. I put coffee and almond milk.
Okay, so a lot of people have different things. And what I was just looking at, and maybe there's some way... Okay, I'm going to share it on my Facebook page. So if everybody wants to see it, I'll share it tomorrow on Jennifer Zanotti on my Facebook. But there's a great guide of how to put together like a protein shake. And it takes you step by step. So just because I have mine, which I love, that's what I like to have. It takes you like step one, pick a liquid. Step two, pick your protein powder.
Ah.
You know, step three, pick a veggie.
Right.
And it lists everything. Then pick your fruit. Then you can put in a healthy fat. So if you want to put in some nuts or peanut butter or anything like that. And then you can do a topper. So this is a great option, and it's a great visual
mm-hmm.
to show you how to build it and make sure you're keeping everything that you need in there.
It's like going to a restaurant. Like there's a great those Korean bowls. You know, they ask you to choose your different mm-hmm. elements.
Exactly.
And that sounds like it's the same idea.
So it's really easy to follow. Mm-hmm. You know, you can put whatever fruits you like or prefer in mm-hmm. there, or veggies. You know, but I definitely like using spinach as the base.
I do kind of love how creative they've gotten with flavors for the whey protein or the different like the powdered protein.
Mm-hmm.
I tried red velvet today because I get the individual packets as samples sometimes.
See, that's awesome.
Red velvet cake.
Yeah, and they have a birthday cake too, or a birthday surprise. Yeah.
I would just be careful.
We're like, we love the sugar ones.
I know you guys are looking at me and you're just waiting.
Okay, but I split it in half. I know that I'm not getting as much protein. It was 30 grams of protein and 150 calories, so I just used half of it.
How much sugar was in there? What?
Well, let's not get into that.
All right, so what's the
caution?
I'm just going to tell you, think about this. So you're getting a lot of sugar from the fruit already. natural sugar, which is great. We need those vitamins, minerals,
and nutrients. The fiber.
Yes, right. And the fiber, everything. But with the protein, you want to make sure you have something that's high quality that's not going to have A, a lot of sugar in it, but B, all the chemical sweeteners. So something that's like a pure, good, high quality whey protein or pea protein. If you are vegan, like I mentioned in there too, you can use something that's a vegan option, but just really look under the other ingredients to see what's
all
in there. Some cheap protein powders can be filled with a lot of.
Okay. Stuff. So you're saying my churro powder is out?
Churro.
I churro powder.
Churro powder.
Do you really? Yes, I do. Awesome. Yes.
Is it chocolate churro?
Really? Or just, okay. You just need to send me the label. That's all
just
I need.
Just send her the label.
Send me the label and I'll tell you.
Okay. That is a good question. Good, so I always thought, okay, fruit is good for you, but you bring up a great point about fruit. You know, there's a lot of sugar in fruits. What fruits have the most sugar that you would really kind of advise to stay away from?
Off the top of my head, I know watermelon is one of them.
See, and I was going to say, just don't say watermelon.
Watermelon is
cantaloupe too, right?
Everything. So watermelon has a lot of sugar.
Yeah, yes. I had a feeling you were going to say that because I like it so much.
Nah, come on.
You're killing me here, Smalls. After break.
All right, we'll find out.
But berries are going to be like the best thing for you. Blueberries, raspberries, strawberries.
Okay. Blackberries.
Bananas that are less ripe.
Why? Are they more sugary if they're more ripe?
Yeah.
What?
They're a lot sweeter.
No wonder. That's why I like them all mushy.
Yeah, they're a lot sweeter. Yeah. They don't have that. They're a little more, I don't want to say bitter, but they're just not as sweet. They're a little more sharp before.
Yes, they
are. Yeah, they get super ripe.
Mm-hmm. And you were talking about your good sort of oils or fats, and that's obviously you mentioned nuts and maybe peanut butter, almond butter, or avocado actually mixes really well with smoothies too.
Coconut oil, anything. Mm-hmm. And you don't have, I usually do water in mine as a base, but like you can do, you know, coconut milk or coconut water or almond milk. You know, just keep in mind that a lot of these things might have some extra, you know, calories or the sugar contents as well. So that's why I kind of keep it neutral with the water since I have the fruit.
I see avocado spray a lot now, you know, so instead of like, I saw like
instead of olive oil?
Yeah, instead of olive oil, avocado oil. Is that okay or is that too much fat?
No, avocado. I love avocados. I eat
but
like
the oil,
the spray, you know. That's okay?
Better?
That's okay.
I wonder how it cooks.
I don't know. That's the thing.
I don't know the cooking temperature of avocado oil.
Right. Okay. Okay.
But I know it's great. I mean, I have avocado oil in my skincare I make in my cleanser.
Would you use that as a substitute for an olive oil?
You can. I would look at the cooking temp for that. Okay. If you're going to cook with it, you want to make sure, like, depending if it has a high heat
You want to
tolerance or not.
Okay.
Yeah.
By the way,
coconut oil is good. It's got a high heat temp.
By the way, a texter says that it was so ironic that we're talking about bananas. I ran across this about bananas. Home remedy, if you can't sleep at night, grab a banana. So apparently that's supposed to be something that helps you. Really? Do you do that?
Well, the potassium, it's similar to, I mean, I like to take magnesium before bed. We've had that conversation.
Yes, and I've been doing that as well. I take the magnesium
mineral before bed.
Yeah. And you had you actually went through my order and chose the type of magnesium. I think it was chelated. No, it was a certain type of magnesium that's easier to digest.
Yes, you want something that's a little bit more like bioavailable. I like the one I take is a powder form. It's isotonic, so I mix it with some water, and it just absorbs in the system a lot better.
Okay.
It's like 95% absorption.
Well, that brings me to the question I have about timing of your meals both post and pre and post workout, right? Because I keep reading so many different things that you should pack protein on before you're going to do a workout because it keeps your energy levels on or up.
Right.
And after a workout, in order to recover, it's good to eat some carbs within a certain amount of time.
Yes.
Like my coaches have told me at the Doghouse CrossFit, within an hour, try to eat something that will help you recover post workout. Why is that?
Yeah. So people say within an hour, you know, even doing my nutrition certification, you have about like a 2 to 3 hour window.
Okay.
You know, just in case you are like rushing after your workout, you want to make sure you're getting a good balance of carbs, proteins, and good fats. But that's the time to kind of load up a little bit more on the carbs because your body needs that, that sugar, that insulin.
Right.
So,
okay. I have to ask, as long as we're talking about liquids and whatnot and what you can and can't drink and eat. When I bike, I know you should just have water. I've kind of gotten into the habit of vitamin water.
Okay. I think we talked about that.
I love how I ask you a question now anymore, and I'm like, oh, God, please.
She's going to want you to send a picture of the label
like
to her.
I'm thinking about that. Yes.
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 It's zero.
Zero sugar?
Okay.
Well, yeah, but it's zero calories.
I think you should be okay. What I want you to start paying attention to is the other ingredients.
Okay.
What it says, what's written under the ingredients.
And
it,
whether or not that'll let you know whether if it's bioavailable. There's,
well, it's going to say if there's other, if there's like sweeteners in there, artificial sweeteners or not.
Okay.
Because it could have zero sugar, but it could
but something's
have
giving
like
a delicious
aspartame
orange
or Splenda, yeah. You know, uh-huh. NutraSweet.
Oh yeah, I use it too.
Well, so this, so and that's well, the artificial sweeteners too is harder for your body to break down and yes. can actually slow you down. So my one of the big questions I have for you while I'm watching some of the videos again at Jay-Z mm-hmm. Beauty and the Beast is what. How aware have you become as an athlete? Because but you've shown pictures of yourself from before and after your life in jiu-jitsu and getting your life sort of on this track of being fit and mm-hmm. conscious. Are you more consciously eating because you are exerting so much? Because you train sometimes 3 hours to 4 hours a day.
Yeah, if not,
so,
yeah.
So for most of us, we're not, because you have to know that you are incorporating your meals wisely in order right. to be that fit and to be that strong and available to sort of do all this workout with jiu-jitsu. Yeah. A lot of us, like me and Andrea, you know, it's different for people like mm-hmm. us.
Right.
And, you know, we're not, we're kind of eating and we think about the next meal and mm-hmm. it gets us to the next meal or through our day. We're not consuming it and then using it in a way where we go, oh, this is, I mean, that's the only reason I'm asking is because mm-hmm. having run every day last week, I know when maybe I shouldn't have had that last bourbon before bed. And I was like, right. oh, that hurts.
Yes.
you know, but well, I made myself run because I'm like, I'm also going to sweat that off, whatever that was.
Yeah. And that's, you know, a great point. And like working with a lot of my clients too, individually, I take their lifestyle into consideration. You know, nutrient timing and definitely eating smaller meals every few hours is something that I use as a pretty neutral guideline for people just because we want to keep their metabolism going. Mm. How much they're going to eat and exactly what they're going to eat and the timing of it is going to depend on their lifestyle and their training, if they're athletic, if they're not. So, you know, myself, like sometimes I know if I'm not eating enough, you know, I right. need to really refuel a lot, but my timing's a little different with my schedule. And I, like I said, with the protein shake this morning, I'll take that before a workout because I don't want something that's too heavy either right. while mm-hmm. I'm training. Yeah. So I like to eat at least an hour before I've trained so I can let my body digest and have something that's a little easier to digest and not so heavy.
We all, the rest of us need like a schedule when we're, yeah. like I said, some days we work out and some days you won't. And
oh, yeah.
You're going from.
Today I needed this mm-hmm. morning.
Right.
I thought, oh, I feel like working out. Right. I don't want a bike. Yeah.
And I didn't have a chance today at all. So the stupid thing that I've been doing, I'll tell you later. More after this on 720 WG. Listening to the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis on WGN Radio 720. We're broadcasting live from the Allstate Skyline Studios. Joining us tonight has been Jen Zanotti, who has some great videos on her Instagram account, Jay-Z Beauty and the Beast.
You got
and,
it.
And yeah. I'm all in. I've been doing my lemon and ginger. We'll get Andrea started on that. By the way, can we put garlic in there too? Because then we've got like a Greek dish going
yes.
on in our
well,
cups.
I'm going to tell you, if you are sick,
yes.
And you put fresh garlic in there.
Yes.
It will
kick your butt and knock it out.
So it's yes. not something you have to do daily, mm-hmm. but you could do it like once a week, once every other, or if you do find that you are coming down with something.
And if your spouse is, you know, it's willing yeah. to share the same space
yeah.
with you.
Let me tell right. you, it sticks with you for quite a
Get
while.
Done a bit.
I've done it.
right. Garlic and lemon. Nothing wrong with that.
No.
So Jen is, she has her account on the site is Jay-Z Beauty and the Beast for Instagram. Mm-hmm. That's the handle for that. And
yes.
then for her website,
it's jenzanotti.com.
Jenzanotti.com. And we want to know more about what you're doing tonight because we're going to, I don't know how long you can stay tonight because we'll figure that out. We
yeah,
also want to make,
for a bit.
We've got we've got someone here to talk about something very important, a fundraiser coming up. If it seems like the planet is on fire,
yeah.
I don't think that's inaccurate. There are huge fires in California right now. And of course, we've been following the story about Greece. You just came back from Greece a few weeks ago.
I did. I came back from Greece. I was there for 2 weeks and I was there in June and it was wonderful and beautiful.
beautiful, and I have family there, and these horrible fires have developed. They're outside of Athens, mm-hmm. but I have a lot of family who live in Athens. So we've been following very, very closely. I think the stat today was that it was the largest arson-suspected fire that has ever seen.
Wow.
And they have almost 100, as of now, and unfortunately, you know, we hope the death toll won't rise, but it's nearly 100 people have been killed in these horrible arson fires. And Greece is, you know, it's a very rich country in history and whatnot, but it's not, they don't have, you know, these medevac helicopters and able to fight the wildfires. You know, the same problems that they're having out west in California mm-hmm. and Oregon are the same problems they're having there, too, only with fewer resources. So we invited in studio tonight our good friend Thanos Davalis, who is the with the Hellenic American Leadership Council. And there's a fundraiser going on that we wanted to tell everybody about and how they can maybe help out.
Because there's a Greek restaurant or two around that would want to get involved in this in
Rutter,
Chicago.
Houston, yeah. Jackson, yeah.
Somewhere over by here, I think. Yeah. Hey, Thanos, yeah. Nice to meet you.
Thanks for having me, guys. It's great to be here. So when we were monitoring the fires last week, as we began seeing the devastation, we got together and we said that, together with the Chicago Sister Cities Athens Committee, that we needed to do something about this. And we started our Greece Wildfire Relief Campaign, which you can find mm-hmm. on the GoFundMe page or HellenicLeaders.com/HelpGreeceNow. And it's amazing to see the response that we got. In less than a week, we set a goal of $250,000, and we've already surpassed $185,000
in awesome.
Wow.
Small donations, grassroots donations. We've also had some significant gifts from our partners that we work with, such as the American Jewish Committee, that gave a grant of $10,000 as well.
That's great.
Oh, wow.
And we've recently partnered up with some Greek restaurants in Chicago. And the restaurants have generously stepped up and pledged to donate 10% of their profits to our wildlife relief campaign. And it's going to take place on Wednesday, August 1st. So all day, breakfast, lunch, or dinner, head into Greek Kitchen, any of the locations, Greek Islands, Avli in Winnetka, Martopolis in Greektown, Platia, and Canela. And
all those locations, including...
And all, right. all the locations.
Because there's
the
Greek islands in Lombard,
exactly,
too.
Yeah. So all the Canela locations, all the Greek kitchens, all the Greek islands. And... you know, we don't really need an excuse to go and eat Greek food.
I know. You set some cheese on fire. I mean, it seems disrespectful to light the cheese on fire, but that's my favorite thing when I go for Greek food.
It's so good. I know. We like to eat, that's for sure. So this is a way to everybody's hearts.
So if you head out there on Wednesday, know that it's obviously... a great cause. Yeah.
And it's not just loving to eat. It's eating food that is so rich. That's one of my, like, moussaka is one of my favorite things on the planet. There are a lot of people who don't like the sweetbreads. I'm not supposed to eat all that stuff, the livers and the innards.
You would love my family at Easter. My goodness.
Do you not like all that stuff?
I do.
The pepperoncini and the mm-hmm. feta cheese. I'm all in.
Oh my God, totally. We have the soup. It's margarita soup. And you eat it around Easter time, usually around the holidays. And when I was little, I was like, oh, it's good. It's like chicken noodle. Well, they weren't noodles, but you know. So
enjoy.
And
hey.
My mom said, I said, what is it? What's in here? She said, we'll just tell you when you get older. They just mask it with some garlic and some
dill. Is it tripe? Do you guys do tripe too?
It's more like what you just mentioned, like gizzards and intestines. And yeah.
It's
flavored very nicely.
Well, Mexican food, we eat menudo, which has tripe in it, and that's that honeycomb sort of, that's the lining of the intestine. So yes. I grew up on stuff like this. I mean, it's partly using everything and being, sort of incorporating every part of the taste family, right? There's a wide range of flavors in Greek cooking. So this is a great way to also be aware of what's going on in Greece. I didn't realize that 2,500 homes have burned mm-hmm. in the path of this fire.
Awful.
And the latest stats have the death toll is at tragically over 90. There's some 25 missing people still. Mm-hmm. We've all seen the pictures of people that were racing into the ocean to save themselves.
Oh, did you see one of the reporters, I think from the BBC, said it was at a much smaller level, almost like a Chernobyl, because there were two whole neighborhoods that were wiped out. Mm-hmm. And people, of course, you know, left their homes and left their cars. And now there's just these white burned out homes and car, you know, frames that are left. It's so sad, those images.
Oh. Yeah. And that's why I think this relief effort is so crucial at this time, because it's obviously going directly into vetted organizations. 100% of the funds will go to the Hellenic Red Cross and SOS Children's Villages, which the Hellenic Red Cross has been on the front lines throughout this whole crisis, and they've been rescuing people. They've been working with first responders. They've been collecting relief in terms of equipment and foodstuffs and medical supplies. So they're really the ones that are doing all of the work that needs to be done.
Nice.
And SOS Children's Villages obviously does great work with providing support for children. And we know, unfortunately, that there's a number of children as well that have suffered.
Yeah. 200 people injured and more than half are children.
Yeah.
Wow. Where can people go to visit the website to find out the work that you're doing and the funds that you're raising?
They can visit the website at HellenicLeaders.com / help Greece now.
Okay, one more time.
HellenicLeaders.com / help Greece now.
We'll find out more about our guests. Now, how do I say your name?
Thanos.
And your last name?
Develis.
Develis. So it's been a tough year for you. They're like, wait a minute, did you get the all the jewels or the
Infinity
stones?
Stones?
The Infinity Stones?
Oh,
yes.
Oh, that's right.
There's an ongoing joke about me being the Avengers, but
have they gotten you the glove, the Infinity Glove?
No, should tell them though.
Somebody needs to get you that. There's an Infinity Glove at Disney World that basically it's actually like a cup holder. Uh-huh. So I feel like I know.
Next time you come in,
I feel like we need to get
somebody actually stopped me at a restaurant. They're like, "That's your name? That's so cool." I was like,
"That's awesome."
Well, let's find out more about Thanos when we come back. You're hanging out with Patty Vasquez on the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis, Jen Zanotti, and Thanos joining us in studio. That's just fun to say. More on 720 WGN. We are hanging out with Jen Zanotti, our Motivational Monday expert, and Thanos Develis. Develis. It's fine. He can correct me.
Develis.
The president of the Hellenic American Leadership Council. I've heard it both ways. I promoted you, director of public affairs.
We
promoted
you.
Yes.
We have the Southside connection from St. Constantine and Helen and Palis, which you grew up. Yeah. So
such a strong. So there's so many different ethnic communities that have this tight-knit community. I know that Jen in Highwood, the Italian community really kind of sticks together. And so if there were something on the scale of the fires going on in Greece, I imagine it would be the same idea of
absolutely.
What can we do? And that must be the sort of feeling of helplessness for people who are, you know, that you have family halfway around the world wanting to say, we were thinking about you. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of these people are just trying to go day to day, trying to survive. Some of them trying to find family members who they are not accounted for. Mm-hmm. So this is something, because that's the worst thing in the world, I think, for anybody, no matter what situation you're in, is to feel like you're powerless. Mm-hmm. Because how do you move forward? So this is something that's communal. You can go grab something to eat, take your friends out to eat, think about what's going on a half a world around from you. It's just a great idea to sort of come together and show support.
Yeah, and a lot of the churches, too, over the weekend as well, a lot of the Greek churches were taking up certain, you know, collections and saying donate to the Red Cross and whatnot, because it's just so devastating. And, you know, like you said, Patty, immediately we're calling family and saying, are you okay? And, you know, thankfully our family.
Absolutely.
It's good, because our family, who would have been closest, they have, this is wonderful, this is why Greece is so great, and I think many European countries do this, they're on summer vacation, so when they take, you know, and so instead of, like, we take a week or two or, you know, spread out our vacation time, they take a month off.
Right.
Yeah. In Italy, they do the same.
Isn't
it's like
wonderful?
In August, the month of August.
Yes. Everything shuts down.
Everything shuts down.
Are you kidding me? I'm having an anxiety attack about taking 8 days or whatever number of days. I've never taken this amount of time. In my entire time I've worked at WGN, I've never taken this much time off ever.
When I went to Greece, it was the same thing. So it was 9 days and I was, you know, having, you know, palpitations from doing it.
Yeah, because I told you they changed your life here at WGN. Yes, I'm not looking forward to leaving.
No, and it's so and it's funny because then all my Greek friends and my relatives are like, that's it?
Nine days?
Yeah. You must not really want to go. Oh,
I know.
My God.
You know. Thanos, where were you born?
So I'm Chicago through and through. I'm from the southwest suburbs, Palis Hills.
Mm-hmm.
So I grew up here. I went to school out there.
Which school? Because it sounds as though everybody went to like Carl Sandburg or the one that Andre went to.
I went to Amos Alonzo Stagg High School.
That's in the same district.
Okay. In Palos Hills.
same school district, 230. Yeah.
Wow.
And then I graduated and I went and did my undergraduate degree at Loyola University of Chicago.
Oh, go Ramblers.
Yeah. Now he's a Northsider.
Oh,
yeah.
Really? What happens there?
Everybody defects, I know.
Well, there are a lot of people from my neighborhood who definitely defect south because of how much bigger the property.
Yeah.
You know, you can get more land on the south side. I don't know. What draws you to the north side then?
It's Thanos? No, what draws you?
Yeah. Apologize to your south side brethren.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry to everybody down there. But I think the proximity to everything. Going to school, I really learned Chicago by living by Loyola.
Okay.
And for me, it's become like my home now.
Right.
So, you know, I'll still go back home. I was just there this weekend. You know, it's my neighborhood now.
Yeah.
How did you get involved with the Hellenic American Leadership Council?
So after I graduated college, I was looking for something to do that would allow me to promote this Hellenism that we're so proud of and also contribute back to the community.
Mm-hmm.
And I was directed towards the Hellenic American Leadership Council. And immediately I was, you know, given the opportunity to take on a leadership position. So host a local meetup, educate your peers on these issues.
Was that a little bit of pressure for you? You're like, wait a minute, I wanted to be involved. Now I'm sort of leading a lot of different things.
Yeah, it was kind of like a leap into the dark.
Yes.
And then, you know, I met everybody at the office and I started working more closely with everyone there and seeing that, like, oh my God, look at what we can do with such a small group of people.
Mm-hmm.
And if only we could, you know, get that message out and more people can see that together we can really make a difference, whether it's on our issues, whether it's to improve, you know, the civic society in general in the United mm-hmm. States. And then I took a job at the Greek consulate where I worked for a couple of years with the head diplomat there, the consul general. And then they picked me up and brought me back into the Hellenic American Leadership Council, where I've been since 2016.
So are many of the members, are they generally second, third generation, or are you finding a lot of people? Because I'm curious, you know, we talk a lot about immigration these days, and, mm-hmm. and Jen still has families mm-hmm. in Italy. My mother is from Mexico. Mm-hmm. You still have family in Greece.
Right.
So I'm wondering, I guess actually one of the questions I have is, what draws, you know, people from Greece to Chicago? Mm-hmm. Is it sort of, well, my family member moved there and I've heard great things about it, or?
So my parents are immigrants. Mm-hmm. So my father moved here from Greece in 1969. And he came because he had a family connection
mm-hmm,
here.
Mm-hmm.
And he was 15 years old. And they threw them in and they started working right away.
Right.
And so that's how we ended up in Chicago. And a lot of Greek immigrants have the same story.
Yeah.
Somebody brought them here, or there was a work opportunity. A lot of Greeks ended up in New York, obviously, where we have a really big base as well. There's Greeks in Los Angeles, Toronto, across North America. But I'd say the two biggest centers are New York and Chicago. And then we have our membership ranges from somebody who was an immigrant to, you know, third and fourth generation members.
Right.
So there's a big diverse group that all cares about these values that
it's true.
We care about.
My grandparents all came over from Greece, and very, very, and you know, many immigrant communities have the same stories of coming over. And my grandpa came with his best friend, and they were 15 years old,
right.
And they instilled this work ethic. And then my grandpa started peddling fruit in what's now Greektown, and ended up owning like a little storefront, like fruit stand, like a fruit market. And he bought his first store on a handshake deal.
Really?
You know, yeah. And I mean, so right, wow, like just like awesome. Today, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so and these stories, you know, of pride and hard work again within mm-hmm. the Greek community and the Italian community,
absolutely.
The Polish community,
same
the Hispanic
thing.
Community,
yeah.
All these, you know, groups, and it's nice to see everybody rallying together to help everyone back home in Greece. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure when you went to these different restaurants, they immediately were like, "We're in."
Yeah, it was amazing. It's amazing to see not only the response from the restaurants, obviously, but the response from everybody that has contributed. I mean, we've had over 2,000 people donate.
Yeah.
Whether it's a small amount of $5, $1,000, you know, anything in between. And that's inched us forward. I would say inched us. We've moved pretty fast, and 6 days to the numbers that we were talking about of over $180,000.
That's awesome.
That's
dollars and donations. Awesome. And everybody, the concern was there from the beginning. People saw the fires. They immediately contacted us and said, how can we help?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
we were able to guide them right
They've
there.
They've all stepped up again. The Hellenic American Leadership Council has teamed up with Greek Islands, Greek Kitchen, Avli, Canella, Plateia. Mm-hmm. How do I say this? Am I saying
Plateia? Very yeah. good. Yeah.
It's almost Spanish. And our Artopolis on a day of philanthropy to benefit Greek wildfire relief campaign. And you can go to any of those restaurants. It's August 1st. Go have a great meal with somebody. These are wonderful restaurants.
They are. Grab a coffee, grab a friend, and, you know, grab a drink. And the proceeds go
maybe
to...
Maybe do lunch and dinner.
There you go.
There you go.
Great cause. Great cause.
And the restaurants are throughout the Chicagoland area, including Chicago, Lombard, in the Loop area, Streeterville, Oak Brook. You've got Winnetka, Des Plaines. There's really, I mean, a lot of our neighborhoods are really covered by all these great restaurants. And if people can't make it, how can they donate directly to you guys?
So if you can't make it, you can donate directly at HellenicLeaders.com/HelpGreeceNow. You can find that link as well on our Facebook page, on our Twitter. If you look up Hellenic American Leadership Council, the links are on our Instagram, on our Facebook, on Twitter, and all the social media platforms.
Awesome. Let's grab something to eat on Wednesday.
I know. Let's do it. Let's do it.
Now I'm so hungry. I want it now. Do we have to wait?
You know what? I'll pick up some food on the way in.
All right. That sounds good. Everyone. Sure. I like that. Yeah. Excellent. It was a pleasure to meet you.
No, it was great. Thanks for the invite.
Oh, absolutely. We want to catch up with you again, find out about some, I know there's a lot of great things going on in the community all the time, and update us on how the relief efforts are going with you guys.
Of course.
Yeah. Appreciate
thank
that.
You, Thanos.
Thank you.
And if people want to get involved, just want to become a member.
If people want to get involved, they can reach out to us via email, contact@HellenicLeaders.com. We'll answer all inquiries there.
Perfect. More when we come back on the Patty Vasquez Show with Andre Dawes on 720 WGN. Lose control, and I'm that excited. Andrea, a little piece of trivia about me.
Yes.
When I was in grade school, we had a talent show.
Yeah.
And I wanted to be in the talent show, but I didn't have any talent, so we decided. Uh-huh. I can't sing. I didn't know that I could be funny. I knew that I was a troublemaker in class. And I loved the Pointer Sisters when I was in grade. When I was really like, I think I was like in second or third grade
I did
or something.
Too. The Neutron Dance
and Jump. Yes.
Oh yeah.
So we did. I'm so excited, and I can still remember some of the moves. And I mean, we were talking like I'm skiing sideways.
Right.
And it was supposed to be me and Jennifer Boris and Kelly Kneeling, and those are their real names. And. Because I don't know how to edit, and Daphne will tell you that. And
you do not.
And but Kelly back. I don't know why Kelly bailed on us at the last minute. So we changed. I don't know what our names were supposed to be, but we changed it to the Patty Jens. Wasn't it?
Oh my god, that's oh so my god. Funny because it's yes. so it's kind of like the Pointer Sisters.
Yes, and we won.
Sort
the,
of.
We won the dance category, and here's why: there was nobody else in our category. So if you want to know how to win a talent show, Lee Edwards, you have to be the only people in your category.
I'm kind of like. Trying to think, like, what category would I
yes.
be in? Like,
I
the dry, sort of lame category? Is there a dry, lame category?
I don't know, but I will know. Dance like this for you. I promise.
I mean, I know. I want to see the whole dance. You know, right? one of the, in my senior year, one of my, and you can look this up yourself, but look up the song by the Sugar Cubes, Birthday.
Okay.
And one of my classmates sang that song at the talent show, and it was a huge hit. Sugar Cube's Birthday. Just look it up yourself.
Okay.
Just look. That's all I'm going to say about
it. Look up Sugar Cube.
All right.
Sugar Cube's Sugar Cube. Okay. The song is Sugar Cube's Birthday. Just look it up yourself. She sang it.
So
it was
you're
a
saying
huge hit.
You're saying it was not appropriate.
Well, it was just different.
Okay. Just different. We're hanging out in the Allstate Skyline Studios. Dr. Daphne Scott joins us in studio. Jen Zanotti, our Motivational Monday expert. Although Daphne is also our Motivational Monday expert, so this is like colliding of worlds. And I have also invited on the show Lee Edwards and Kelly Bauer, both journalists with Block Club Chicago. We talked to Kelly a few weeks ago about some of the work that she does. Now, Kelly, you didn't know you were going to be asked this, but did you ever compete or perform in a talent show at any point in your life?
I have competed in ice shows for figure skating, but never a talent show.
Wow.
Wow.
I think Lee did not know this secret past of yours.
Breaking news. Wasn't ready.
Yeah, no, I keep it under wraps, but I was a figure skater for the most part.
Well, there you go, Lee. There's something you didn't know about your coworker. This is fantastic. Kelly, you were a figure skater? What made you stop skating?
Oh, my goodness. I stopped skating when I was a kid because I used to figure skate with both of my older sisters, and we were on a team together. When they got old enough that they moved on to the next level of the team, I didn't want to skate without them anymore, so I quit.
Oh, the team broke up.
Oh.
We got to get the band back together.
Poor Kelly.
Do you still skate at all, Kelly?
Actually, yeah, I just went skating a couple weekends ago for fun, and I am not good anymore.
It's weird how you lose it, because I skated as a kid, too, and I could barely stand up in Millennium Park right now.
Oh, well, there's no ice there right now.
No, I mean now, when there is ice there, smartass.
I know. There was no hanging fruit.
Right, I know.
Have you not been here long enough to know that I'm going to take a bite out of that apple right there? I'm sorry. Lee, have you ever competed in any talent shows or something similar to your co-workers' hidden talents?
Not figure skating, but I've competed in a talent show as a celloist.
Okay, so all the hidden talents.
As a celloist.
Yeah, I am. It was like for a church group. I went in Cleveland, Ohio. Mm-hmm. I was there with my brothers. We did a musical ensemble. I think of like old church songs. I want to say like "This Little Light of Mine."
Aww. Wow.
See, that's cool. Yes.
I'm gonna let I'm gonna let it shine.
That's really sweet.
Yeah,
we didn't win.
You did not win.
Except I'm still jealous that you were playing the cello.
Yes.
Whatever.
Exactly.
That's really cool.
Now we know. What got you involved? What made you? Because we talked to Kelly a few weeks ago about being a journalist and wanting to tell these stories, in particular about our communities. And Block Chicago is doing such a great job of making sure these stories that might go unnoticed are really getting coverage. What drew you to journalism? At the best time and possible moment in history in America. Go ahead.
It started as an elective I took in high school, senior year. I was like, you know what? I just want an easy A.
Mm-hmm.
And Miss Hendricks' class back at Houston High School in Germantown, Tennessee. And I was like, you know what? I want to take this, learn. And from that point, the bug just kind of grew and grew and grew. That's like a bad term, right? Bug. But
no, the journalism bug, we get it.
The desire grew from there. And then going to the University of Tennessee and other places, just seeing I wanted to highlight the stories of Black folk all over. And I figured, why not go to Chicago and try it, too?
Well, we have a lot of stories to tell. And the thing that we've talked a lot about on this show recently and, of course, over the last several years is how really separated we are as a city. We hear a story about a shooting or a depressed neighborhood, and we're always going to assume that it's Englewood or Austin. And one of the reasons I wanted to have you on the show is we had talked to Kelly about the police officer shooting of the young man who had a gun in his waistband.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember. I apologize because I can't remember his name.
Harith Augustus.
Harith Augustus.
Yes.
And she said that you two had worked on this together, and I realized I didn't have your contact. You don't have, it's not as easy to contact you. he's got like a website, no contact info. Kelly, that was one of the reasons why we connected so quickly, was I wanted to talk about it as soon as possible. But you both have worked on some pieces, and you continue to tell the stories that I hope helps people, you know, understand the city in its parts so that we have a bigger picture of its whole. And Kelly, you have a piece, and we've talked to the folks from My Block, My Hood. I didn't realize that they were doing tours. And how can people learn more about those tours? And what do you think people are learning from going into the neighborhoods that we hear about on the news, or where we, you know, the ones that we're afraid to go into because, well, if you go south of whatever, you know, that's where the gangs are. What did you learn from My Block, My Hood?
Well, the interesting thing with what My Block, My Hood, My City is doing now is that normally when they do tours, they take teens from South and West Side neighborhoods and bring them to neighborhoods in the city that they haven't been to before, and they've even taken them outside the city for trips. But now they're having the teens organize tours, and this summer the tours are of North Lawndale and the West Side. So the teens have spent weeks researching all this history of North Lawndale, and they take people around the neighborhood and show them historic sites, beloved community spots, things like that. So, you know, they're showing them churches, but they're also showing them where to get the best sandwich in North Lawndale. So it's really interesting that they have these teenagers leading them.
Right, because the teenagers are the one, you know, we had some kids on from the, is it Austin Gage?
I think so, yes.
Austin Gage neighborhood. And some of our callers asked, why doesn't your family just move? And that must come up a lot. And the coverage that you do, Lee, when, mm-hmm. when people read the stories, they think, and you cover all the aspects of it, both of you do, whether it's the shootings or the businesses, people trying to improve their community. Do you get people asking, well, why don't those folks just move?
I hear that, and then I also hear the response usually is, this is my home. My family grew up here. I'm a homeowner. I'm a proud homeowner, and I care about my neighborhood, my block. And long story super short is that we value our communities just as much as anyone else does.
Right.
And also there's always this constant lurking of gentrification, being relocated with any outside forces. So the idea of investment in the community is always priority, at least among a strong group of concerned citizens.
Yeah.
What are you, both of you, Kelly and Lee, what are your thoughts on a lot of these, the protests that have been the one on the Ryan that Father Flager scheduled, and now the one that Reverend Livingston is going to be holding on Lakeshore Drive a little bit later on this week? Are you guys from the mindset of, hey, you know what, this is, people are going to start noticing this? Or is it, you know, I think their aim is to try and get to go to neighborhoods where, you know, there isn't maybe as high a crime as in certain neighborhoods. So what are your thoughts? I'm just wondering your individual perspectives.
Kelly?
Well, I think that one of the major reasons that they hold protests on, you know, the Dan Ryan Lakeshore Drive is because it gets people's attention. And they want people to no longer be able to ignore the issues that they're protesting, which recently has been violence in some of Chicago's communities. So, you know, people will complain about, like, oh, it just makes me resent them, or it makes traffic worse. But in the end, their point is that they want you to pay attention and be forced to listen to their message. And that's what people are forced to do when things like this happen. So I think that they are getting their point across, even if it does upset some people who want to be driving.
Lee?
I would say I definitely agree with what Kelly said. And also, there's an idea, too, of two Chicagos, because for some people, violence, concerns of crime are a daily occurrence. For other people, it's never comes up at all. So to jar you out of that malaise, out of that sense of security for your neighborhood, to care about everyone else is one of the main central points as well.
And it's hard because when we had Reverend Livingston on, he mm-hmm. talked about redistributing pain. And that's the mm-hmm. idea of that. And it is hard in the fact that so many listeners, the response that we got was, you're not going to win me over by making me suffer. And that seems to be the response that we get a lot. And I know Dr. Daphne probably has some thoughts on that. And because we talk about the idea of, what story am I telling myself?
Yeah.
And you and I have talked about that. So what story are people telling themselves when they see, well, they're in my way, and now I hate them even more than I did before with their whining, and now they're just blocking traffic. Mm. Isn't
it? Yeah. There's a lot I could say about this, and I will.
Okay, let's take a break. Let me take a break.
Okay.
You got your thoughts, and I'm sure listeners want to chime in on this as well. 312-981-7200. There are a lot more stories to talk about with Kelly Bauer and Lee Edwards, who join us from Block Club Chicago. You can subscribe to their publication. They're doing a great job of keeping stories alive and sharing the day-to-day of what's going on in our city. And look, our journalists are doing a wonderful job at every, you know, at every corner, trying to make sure that you know more. And that's, to be aware, to be curious about what's going on in your city is the first step in understanding each other. So I want to thank our guests for joining us. We have Dr. Daphne Scott in studio with us as well, and Jen Zanotti. More when we come back on the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis on 720 WGN. Thing. It's going to be all Pointer Sisters for the rest of the show. Is that okay with you, Andrea Darlis?
Oh, God. That was one of my first concerts.
You went to a Pointer Sisters concert?
I did, yeah, at the Holiday Star Plaza in Merrillville, Indiana, with my mom.
What?
She loved the Pointer Sisters, yeah.
I
got to see June, too. So
June? Who's June?
June is the youngest Pointer Sister.
Oh.
She passed away.
Oh, I didn't know that. I think we lost Kelly. And I apologize for that. I don't know if I pushed the wrong button and we lost Kelly Bauer from Block Club Chicago. In studio with us, we have journalist Lee Edwards. And we'll get Kelly back on the line in just a moment. We are talking about the different stories that they cover throughout the city of Chicago. And we were talking a little bit about whether or not the protests, in the way that Reverend Livingston is framing it, he was talking about how the redistribution of pain is something they're striving for. They don't want the mayor's approval, as they did with Father Flager. They had, they pretty much had his blessing to shut down the Dan Ryan. Reverend Livingston is planning to shut down Lakeshore Drive, Daphne. I don't know if you were familiar with this protest. This is after the shooting that happened several weeks ago. It was Horatio Augustus. Was that his name?
Yes, Augustus. Yes. Please
tell me his first name again.
Harith.
I don't want to get that wrong. It's you know, if you're going to talk about somebody who was killed, you know, it's sort of one of those things that Reverend Livingston has said was a bit of a flashpoint for him, saying, mm-hmm. okay, look, we keep having these shootings and the Dan Ryan, and nothing's going to happen overnight. People get angry. I know we have a listener. We have a listener who wants to ask how they get involved. But what do you think about that idea of, for years now in Chicago, we've talked about these shootings week after week. Peter Nikias, who writes for the Chicago Tribune, has said, you know, I thought the last murder of a child was going to be something that was a turning point for us. Nobody has the will to change. How do we, does redistributing pain make sense to you, Daphne?
Well, I want to talk about a few things, and I'm going to already ask for forgiveness from the people that are listening to me, because I'm going to speak fairly fiercely about this. And what I want to say is that we need to pay attention to this, but what it takes to harm another human being is that we have to be willing to armor our own internal knowing. We have to be willing to armor our bodies. We have to be willing to shut off a part of ourselves to truly harm another human being.
Right. You have to.
And I think this is the part that we're missing. The internal wisdom that we're missing is that when we harm another, What we're doing is we're actually being identified with an idea.
Right.
We're not checking in with our own experience. And so if we really wanted to put all of this to rest, what we would recognize is that for me to harm another, for any reason, to harm another being on the planet, I would have to be subscribing to a certain belief that I haven't actually experienced in myself. So, in other words, I'd have to really be willing to recognize that I have subscribed to a belief that a person with a different skin color than what I have is the other. And this is very normal. So, at the same time that I'm subscribing to this, I have to understand that there's a normalcy to it. And what I mean by normal is that there's just a way that the mind does this. And until I can actually understand what the mind is doing, and I think this is the part that I really want to emphasize to people who are listening right now, is that this is from the mind. This isn't reality. It's from the mind. The mind is telling you that because I see another being who has a different skin color, and that I've been conditioned to believe that a person with another skin color is other. I've been conditioned into that over time, over repeated ways of my belief system. And I've never paused long enough to question that.
And people get very defensive, though, when you ask them to question it.
Yeah, of course, because of course they do. Of course I do. I mean, let me go from my own experience. Like, don't let me talk about another human being. Let me talk from my own experience. If I have a belief, if I have something that I have taken on that someone has told me, and I take that on, for someone to actually propose to me that maybe what you're believing isn't grounded in reality, of course I'm going to become defensive. And so the practice is to actually sit in that moment and to stay with it as long as you can to find out what is true. And so, you know, in our country, in the United States of America, what we have to understand is that this has been happening for hundreds of years. And it's every individual's responsibility to question these beliefs that we've had, the things that we've been told, the things that have been grounded into us. It isn't actual reality. And I want to say another word about this. This is going to take this a whole nother level. And again, forgive me for speaking strongly, but it's really important that when we start questioning our belief system, when we start questioning the things that we're told, what starts to happen is you let go of a certain identity. And that's frightening to people.
Oh, and that's the thing, is that I think people, again, when they think of the, and we're talking about the plans by Reverend Livingston to shut down Lakeshore Drive, to lead a protest, to call attention to and demand, well, that he's demanding that Rahm Emanuel step down as part of the protest. And people are saying, well, you know, you're not going to win me over with this kind of thing. And it's as though they're saying, well, impress me.
Yeah,
they're saying sort of, win me over isn't. We're not asking you to win anything over. We're saying, as Daphne is saying, can you take a moment and go? These are people who are. This is a community that is struggling and is in pain.
Yeah,
and they're not. Yes, go ahead, Lee.
That's very strong. I definitely agree with your ideas, Daphne. And I also like to add in, too, people want tangible resources. So, for example, some community organizations, youth-led community organizations at that, are suggesting things like instead of having a $95 million police academy, to use those same resources to improve schools, reopen mental health clinics all across the city, have a greater investment in some of these communities that are harder hit by some of these issues that you mentioned about the conditioning. And that is the tangible effort that people want to see, but there's not a lot of traction happening on that level. So once the awareness is brought by a march by Father Flager or Reverend Livingston, then the next step some would suggest would be to invest. And the investment portion is always where things just fall off the cliff.
Yes, I agree with that. We have to go to a break. We are hanging out in the Allstate Skyline Studios. It's the Patty Vasquez Show with Andre Darlis. Kelly Bauer joins us on the line and Lee Edwards in studio from Block Club Chicago. Guy, I'm going to take your call from the 815. You want to know how folks get involved and you know how what is the goal of these protests? Dr. Daphne Scott in studio with us. Jen Zanotti, it's weird. It's my Motivational Monday experts in the same room at the same time. I didn't realize that they came, but they both
We love it.
I mean, isn't it? They're both very effervescent and curly haired, which is just, it's like, it's almost like their energy just makes her go, I'm just going to be curly. More after this on the Patty Vasquez Show with Andre Darlis. You're listening to the Patty Vasquez Show with Andre Darlis. We are live in the Allstate Showcase Studios. Andre, I have a question for you. Did you just do weather before traffic?
I did weather, and then I did traffic, and you weren't back in the room, so I did the weather. So I did the traffic.
I was so confused. I was trying to get. So there's a refrigerator that has a very slow pouring water, and I was standing there. I'm like, I have to go to sales to get water for one of our guests.
You have to go all the way down there.
So I was like, I heard sports, and then I heard weather. And then I heard traffic, then I heard weather again, and I was like, I messed her up.
Like, oh,
I messed her up. I could tell it was me.
You know what, though? It's funny because we have a unisex bathroom, and I usually just run into the bathroom when we have like a minute break.
Right.
And then there was a line the other night because we had the theater group in. And I'm like, ah! So I had to run all the way down to the other end of the building to go to the bathroom. So
yeah, I was so it was a little bit of running. I'm like, oh, I got plenty of time. We're on commercial.
Yeah.
And then, anyway, Lee's like, what's happening? Lee Edwards joins us from Block Club Chicago. Kelly Bauer on the line with us as well. And Jen Zanotti, our Motivational Monday expert, who alternates when our other Motivational Monday expert usually is on, but she hasn't been here ever this summer. Dr. Daphne Scott joins us as well. And Dr. Daphne Scott was talking a little bit about these protests that are coming up. And actually, this is a trend worldwide where people are shutting down major roadways and demanding that people pay attention. And there's a lot of conflict because your opinion, and you and I have talked about this, Dr. Daphne Scott, is about your opinion people consider to be their identity. So if there's something wrong with their opinion, then it feels as though there's something wrong with them. And it's very hard to separate those two things.
Yeah.
And we hear something. So I've asked people to listen with love. And I know that sounds corny. So we've tried to say listen with empathy.
It's not corny.
But people hear it as corny. I had someone say, oh, I guess I have no love. So I'll just stop listening. But I didn't say you didn't. That's you saying that.
Right.
I'm asking people to. Everyone is asking. And shutting down your road doesn't sound like it, but people are saying we are suffering. We have a foot on our throats right now, and we don't know how else to say, please help us. And Kelly Bauer joins us on the line, and we've been talking about these protests that are planned, one protest planned for Thursday, which is a big day. There's a Cubs game. Lollapalooza starts. It's a summer weekend, so traffic is already really very messy.
Right.
And so, you know, people are trying to figure out how to coordinate their day, but some people coordinate their day as when is their child going to be safe walking to school, or will my child make it home, or will I be safe sitting in my car or going to the drugstore? What is my day going to look like when somebody might not make it home? And that's not easy to ask people to consider. And Kelly, I know that you're online, so it's hard because there's so much energy in the studio, which is why I keep asking you to come in studio. And one of these days, we'll have you here. We have a listener from the 815. Guy has a question for us. Hey, Guy, thank you, first of all, for holding on the line for so very long. What did you want to say?
For you, anything. Can you hear me?
I can. Thank you.
Okay. How does somebody get involved? A white guy from the suburbs.
Do you want to be involved in the protest this Thursday?
Well, no. I mean, no, for the long term, I guess.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because I'm working now, and I work 5 to 1:30, so.
Right.
I mean, who can I contact? I mean, I need a cause.
Well, you know, writer Scott Smith, our man mm-hmm. in Chicago, has actually talked on our show a lot about different ways to get involved in the community, volunteer programs, how to help kids in after school programs, donating money, being a part of any of their being a resource for the community as well. Lee, do you have any thoughts?
Hi.
Hi.
I would say that.
I'm just specific to the Chicago cause, really.
Yeah, no, this is Scott Smith is a Chicagoan. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I would say there's look up different organizations, try to find the special area in which you want to focus on, so whether it be police accountability, there's different groups on that. If there is any cause in terms of supporting women, there are definitely strong causes for that, and that's all these things are valid choices. So we want to do a little research and find what really makes you passionate. Everything else will kind of fall in the line.
Okay.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
And again, Scott, guys like Scott Smith, if you Google ways to volunteer, how do mm-hmm. I help, I'll bet you there are different resources that will pop up for you, and you'd be surprised at how many opportunities there are. And first of all, the best thing that you've done is to ask. A lot of people don't ask. Their first reaction right. is like, why do I gotta, be inconvenienced? And you're doing the other. So we appreciate that.
No, it's to the point where it's out of control, and you have to think it's your own whole neighborhood is the world. I mean, it's ridiculous. Yes. It's out of control so much. So I will do my research and get involved some way.
And we will continue to hopefully bring more people who can give you more information about that directly, about the exact programs that they're involved in. I mean, that's one of the reasons why we have Senator Katowski from ChildServe on the show. We have right. our friends from Esperanza, and those are two organizations that help children in at-risk situations or with autism. But you're right. I should be having more people on regularly so people know how they can directly and fundamentally get involved, because Dr. Daphne, we talked about this earlier. The worst thing is feeling as though you're powerless, and Guy yeah. wants to feel like he has something to contribute, and I yeah. think that's great.
Yeah, and I want to hear from my compadre over here, our other positivity expert here in a second. And, I think one of the things that can very much happen in the mind is that we can get biased toward, we are all wired with the sort of what they call a negativity bias, where mm-hmm. we look for the threat naturally. We're just wired that way. And we can lose sight of the fact of all the beautiful things that are happening.
Right.
And, this caller who just called in and said, how do I get involved? I mean, that's a beautiful thing.
That's
and
amazing.
Yeah, and that has been happening forever, and I'd love to hear your thoughts about, how we actually shift our attention and how we put our attention and naturally can put our attention toward the things that are going well at the same time.
Yes.
At the same time that we don't deny anything. At the same time we don't deny that there is suffering, for all of us, but I'm going to shut up now and I'm going to let you talk.
Jen, this is about, and we've talked about this, about making that choice to make a difference,
absolutely.
Whether it's in your life or in the lives of others.
And I was just having this conversation with one of my clients today, too, that, we tend to sometimes, I think the easier, I don't want to say the easier choice, but it can be to be more negative. I've had people all the time tell me, oh, you're always so positive, in like a negative connotation.
They're annoyed with
it. It's like, I'm just going to say, you have to go through your feelings, of course. You have to experience them, but then you have to let go and move on. And I feel like that's, in that moment, you have the decision. Am I going to choose to continue to be negative, which can be a weaker choice, or am I going to find the strength to be positive? Because sometimes that's a lot more difficult to take that road, especially when you are going through a lot of different things in life that everybody else has their own experience with. But I think when you can see and find those little glimpses of hope or those times of positivity, I think that just makes all the difference in your outlook.
Totally. And you're right. The negative is the easier response. Kelly, when you write some of these pieces, are you finding the feedback you get is the people who are just annoyed with, why do we got to talk about this, or let them take care of it themselves? Do you find that to be true, Kelly?
I guess it sort of varies. You know, there will be times when people say that they're sick of all the bad news, that they only want to see these positive stories. But something that we as journalists grapple with is that it is our duty to inform communities. And part of informing them is writing about crime and some of these things that get labeled as bad news. So we certainly do get that kind of feedback, but I don't think it can affect the mission that we have to inform the public.
Well, and that's why I wanted, and I'm going to do this before the break so that we can maybe turn to some of the uplifting stories you have before we let go of both of you. This story out of Wrigleyville and the Foo Fighters concert where this woman was sexually assaulted at a porta potty. What have you heard in the aftermath of that? Mm-hmm. What happened to her? Because this is a terrifying thing for anybody, really.
Yeah, so during the Foo Fighters concert on Sunday, she was standing in line for food and a man came up to her and groped her. She left the line and she went to a porta potty on Addison Street, but the man followed her into the porta potty before she could lock it and he sexually assaulted her.
Oh my God.
And they're still looking for him, you know, trying to take him into custody, and the Cubs are, of course, helping with the investigation. But yeah, that just happened last night.
And it's interesting, you know, my instinct is to go, you know, like, how do you, for me, as a woman who goes to some of these events and then says, hey, I'll be right back, I'm going to the bathroom, right? So now it's go with somebody, watch me. And I hate that we have to do that. Yes, Lee?
I feel very strongly about the idea that from a young age, you have to teach men how to respect women and not be rapist and sexual assault.
Right.
That should be ingrained at a young age, and I'm not sure those conversations are had across all genders, across all levels. You know?
It's not for you. That body is not yours to take. Mm-hmm. And that's mm-hmm. I think, hard to, you know, again, it goes to what I was saying earlier, where people are like, oh, here we go again with this, rather than listening to why we're asking for that.
Yeah, it speaks to any form of objectification, really. Any form of where I suddenly see you as other, you know, where I can't see you as another human being on the planet who has the same desires. And this is how we separate ourselves. You know, this is the way we do it. The at the very root level, we judge. And so that when I judge you, what I'm really doing is creating a form of separation so that I'm not that over there. And so, you know, it makes sense if we go far enough in our judgment, if we go far enough in our objectification, now you're no different than a pencil to me. You're no different than a cup to me. And I don't recognize that, you know, there's actually another human over there. There's another being, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we get caught into this, in the space of objectification. What I really encourage people to do is to not worry so much about what another human being is doing, but to look at the self first. Let's just start there. You know, let's work with our own house first. You know, how do I objectify? You know, from the simplest level, like let me give you an example. I was in the grocery store 2 days ago, and you know, the line was long. And immediately I could feel myself attached to the idea that it should move faster. I should get through the line faster than anybody else. The person in front of me shouldn't have the same space and time that I should have, right? In Chicago, you can do this in traffic. Like everybody, this could be your practice. I'll give everybody who's listening right now practice. When you're sitting and you're driving in traffic, just notice how much you want to get in front of everyone else. Like, no one is as important.
Andre and I have no idea what we're talking about. Not
right,
at all.
Especially when
no
it's one, each other.
That's a great example,
right.
No one
though.
Is as important as you. And suddenly, everyone else around you is an object for you to get around, for you to avoid, for you to... And this is the root. You know, this is the root. So you just practice. You have to be willing to practice.
I don't know if it's wrong or not. Myself changing.
we had Gloria all red on the line, so we had to get down here.
Out of my way.
Well, let me get around you to get to this commercial break. When we come back, we've got Kelly Bauer and Lee Edwards in studio. We're going to talk about something positive they both have written lately. And we can, Kelly, I didn't have a chance to ask you about this, but maybe the need for foster care for a lot of the animals in the city. Whatever piece you want to tell me about, and I know that you've got some great stories as well, in particular the Queen Makers on the South Side, and we'll get some information from Kathy about an important event coming up on August 1st as well. You're listening to the Patty Vasquez Show with Andre Darlis on 720 WGN. You're listening to the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. We are hanging out in the Allstate Showcase studio. We may or may not have lost Dr. Daphne Scott. No, she's right there. I sent her to the restroom, but I'm not sure if I gave her the instructions to come back. She's, you can come in the door. Bob, yeah, push on the door. It's a very heavy door.
It is a heavy door.
It's the heaviest door in the building. Dr. Daphne Scott joined us in studio. Jen Zanotti. Sorry, Jennifer. I got very...
That's okay. I don't think you've ever called me Jennifer.
I know. I feel a little bit weird. Lee Edwards and Kelly Bauer are both writers, journalists for Block Club Chicago. And before we find out some of the positive and wonderful stories that they're covering, Kathy wanted to let us know about an event coming up as well, an organization that's near and dear to my heart. Hey, Kathy, tell us a little bit about this event, the fundraiser for therapy dogs. Yes.
First, let me tell you the fundraiser is tomorrow, Tuesday.
Tuesday, the 31st. My apologies.
From 6 o'clock until from noon until about 6 o'clock at Josie's Frozen Yogurt at 4032 Milwaukee. 20% of all those sales are going to City Kids, and City Kids is a pediatric therapy center. They offer physical, occupational, and speech and language therapy services, and they're located in Jefferson Park. And the fundraisers for a therapy dog, they found that there's huge benefits having a therapy dog in a facility like this. And so we're hoping to stop and get some frozen yogurt, enjoy the taste of it, meet your friends and neighbors. And 20% goes to help a really worthy cause.
Wait, so Therapy Kids, City Kids, by the way, City Kids, my son was there for 4 years. It's on Northwest Highway, over by there. It's near Northwest Highway and Nagel. It's by Highway House, if you guys ever want to stop for a burger and check out City Kids. But they, as she mentioned, they do great therapy for kids for all abilities, in particular kids. If you need early intervention, they do all those programs. But Kathy, are you saying that they're trying to get a therapy dog for City Kids itself, for the facility?
Right. They want I'm sure with the problems you have with children, you know how, I have a nephew who has a problem, and my niece has, she bought a dog, and when he's really upset or she can't calm him down, she bought this beautiful boxer, and he just cuddles up to the boxer and calms him down immediately.
That's wonderful. So that's Josie's Frozen Yogurt, and that's the one on Milwaukee Avenue by the Six Corners area, right?
Yes, 4032 Milwaukee. Her name is Barbie.
Wonderful. So everyone, tomorrow at Josie's Frozen Yogurt, 20% of the proceeds will go to City Kids to help them raise money for a therapy dog. Thank you so much for that, Kathy. We appreciate
it. Thank you. I want to thank you so much for letting me get it out here. I really, really appreciate it. Oh. I'm sure City Kids is going to appreciate it also.
Well, they should be reaching out to me because they know how much I love them. I've got stuff for them, actually, a lot of stuff to give them. Thank you, Kathy. Have a great night.
Stop off at Josie's. You told them Kathy sent you, and anything you get is on the house.
Well, I got to buy something to get that therapy dog. Thanks, Kathy. Have a great night. And speaking of wonderful animals and pets, Kelly Bauer is on the line with us from City Club, from Block Club Chicago. Tell us about the PAWS program and what they need.
Yeah, so last weekend, PAWS Chicago, which is the largest no-kill animal shelter in the city, realized that it was at capacity and it would no longer be able to take in animals. And that would mean that they wouldn't be able to rescue as many animals this year. So they sort of sent up a flag letting people know we need there to be adoptions, we need some foster families to step up, and they held an adoption event this weekend, and it was just wildly successful. By the end, there had been more than 109 adoptions, and they've had more than 200 families submit applications to be foster families.
Oh, and that's the thing, too, is that you can, you know, people think of the responsibilities of taking on it. And now, Andrea, I know that you've just installed a bird bath, which we'll talk about later.
No, birdhouse.
A birdhouse.
It's not quite ready yet.
It's not ready, but maybe you want to, you know, also get a dog to chase off the squirrels who will be bothering the birds. I don't know about a cat, because a cat might be like, oh, dinner's coming to the birdhouse. Yeah, right. But, you know, have you guys ever thought about fostering an animal?
Just saying. I absolutely have.
All right, then. I'm just trying
to encourage
people.
But just the schedule is a little weird right now.
let me work into one.
Let me get used to the schedule. But that's a great idea.
For anybody,
you have to do it.
Yeah, and you can follow PAWS Chicago on Twitter @PAWSChicago. And I know Lee, you had a piece about some women on the South Side who are trying to encourage young women to get involved in business.
Yes, yes. Chicago Foundation for Women launched, I believe, in March, what they call a giving circle. So Southside Giving Circle, and it allows women of all backgrounds and financial situations to come together and raise funds for collectively to support women and girls all across the city of Chicago. This particular Southside chapter is hoping to have a system where they support black women and girls on all levels. So one of the things for the foundation is that they focus on the areas of need of health, economic empowerment, and freedom from violence. And those are sort of the initiatives that they want to focus on. The Giving Circle will be focusing these efforts starting in December when they start making their first grants.
That's great. Well, thank you so much for both of you sharing all the information and stories that you both write so wonderfully. Follow Kelly on Twitter at Bauer Journalism. That's Bauer Journalism. Go to blockclubchicago.org to register for their subscription. You got to subscribe and keep these stories coming. Lee Edwards, you can follow on Twitter at
Mario Lemieux. It's kind of like Mario Lemieux, the famous Pittsburgh Penguin.
Yeah, that's right.
That's why I knew I wasn't going to remember your Twitter handle. See? But Kelly, can you see why it was hard for me to get a hold of him? I'm like, what, now wait, what's his Twitter handle? And where's, yeah.
I didn't realize Twitter was going to be a thing. So, you just roll out something I thought was funny. Then now it's my life. So
there you go.
Who would have thought it would have caught on?
Yep.
Oh,
well,
shucks.
Kelly, thank you for connecting us and thank you for being on the line with us. We will see you soon, I hope, in studio. Keep both of you stay safe and thank you for all the hard work.
Thank you.
Thank you both.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Of course. More after this on 720 WGN. Let's go ahead and pull the curtain back again. We were on a conference call today with our bosses. The Patty Vasquez Show with Andre Darlis had a weekly meeting.
Yes,
phone meeting. And I've never heard this come up. So how's the bird bath coming? Now, by the way, Stephanie did say bird bath. Yes.
You know, because we were talking earlier in the day. Okay, so she sent out a note saying, all right, we're going to have an in-person. It's just hard because
it was supposed to be in person?
Well, it was supposed to be at first. She said, can you guys scroll up?
Oh.
So she said, can you do an in-person meeting. I think it was like 3 or 3:30, which is, 3.5 hours before our shift starts. So it's like, all right, can you guys stick around, till 5 o'clock or so? And they both said no.
Hold on a second, go ahead.
She said, can you guys meet in person? So nobody responded except our producer, Mike, who's in Denver. And he's like, I can't because I'm in Denver. So I wrote back and I said, are we meeting in person or not?
Oh, what time did this start? I'm just getting the messages now.
Yeah, because you didn't respond.
So you would not have been.
She didn't respond at all. So Stephanie called.
I didn't.
So Stephanie called me and said, well, I guess we're not going to meet in person, so you don't have to come in, because I haven't heard back from Patty, and Michael's in Denver, and our boss, Todd, he couldn't make it in person either, so she went, because we have like an hour drive in, so she said, she caught me before I was leaving.
Do you want to see my message? It was just to Stephanie. Yeah. It says, hey, Steph, are we doing a meeting at 4, or should we push it to Wednesday when Michael's back?
Right, when he's back. That's what I thought we were going to do anyway.
Which, by the way, basically completely not ever, I never saw the
any
other
of those other
messages.
Yeah, oh, we thought you just went AWOL. We just thought you were like protesting the text thread.
No,
we didn't, because she's like, well, Patty's not responding, so I guess she doesn't want to meet.
I didn't know. I didn't have that thread.
So it was,
sorry, Stephanie.
So she called and said, hey, what are you doing? Because our boss is just the sweetest person. She's just, very, she's like, what are you doing? Very, very motivational. What's
I
new?
Yeah.
How are
she's
you?
Oh my God, I come across as so passive aggressive on this.
You do.
Because
I totally do. She was like, I think Patty's mad.
No. I didn't see the messages.
You did.
Hold on a second.
Let me
message right now. Hold on.
Texting is so weird anymore. If you don't put an exclamation point.
Well,
you
especially when you have two phones.
Or like a happy emoji.
Hey, guys, just getting this message now. So sorry.
wait, here, what?
Exclamation point. I didn't see it. All right. Talk to you later. I promise not to ignore these messages next time.
Okay, hit send.
All right.
Watch, it'll buzz.
All right.
It is. Hold on. Did you send it?
No, she forgot to hit send.
Had no idea you were trying to get a hold
She's
of
me. She's still finishing her text. Oh, it just buzzed.
There you go.
All right. There she is.
Okay,
she's
proofing it.
So she didn't respond. So 70 called and she's like, oh, what are you doing? I'm going to work out. I said, well, she asked what I was doing. I just, mowed the lawn and I said, I'm painting a birdhouse. And she's like, what? And it's not something you'd be, normally it's like, oh, I'm taking a shower. I'm having lunch, whatever. I said, and so it started this whole conversation. And then she's, long story. So she said, we'll just do a phone call. So that was the first thing she said on the conference call. She's like, how's the bird bath? And I went, no, it's a birdhouse. I covered a story over the weekend about woodworking and wood turning, how it's like this lost art that's coming back. And a lot of the Girl Scout troops and Boy Scout troops, and they're all going to take this woodworking, this wood turning class in Orland Park, which is where I'm from. So they gave me a little kit. And you put a little birdhouse together. So I thought, I'll be creative.
So are the pieces they give you, are there dowels involved, or are they dovetail, like the sort of joints that you have on
it? Yeah, it's like the pieces are all there. You just have to put it together.
Okay.
Like nail it together, glue it together. So I'm painting it now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm doing it for someone who wanted something very specific on it. So we were just kind of laughing about it.
That's intense.
Yeah, it is. It's a lot of pressure because I'm not an artist in any way.
Do you build a birdhouse in your soul?
By the way, I'm in the car on a conference call, and my husband can hear, and he goes, "Is she building it for her soul?"
Yeah, you know what that's from.
My soul
You guys don't know what that's from, do you?
I do.
What's it from?
They might be giants.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, go ahead and look at
build
me.
The birdhouse. Look at you.
Is there like? Is
I'm
there
so
like
impressed.
Hidden...
Right, wait. I've been so impressed with you so many times. But you just blew my mind.
Okay.
Birdhouse in your soul. There might be giants. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so it's Ben, song. Go ahead and fire that one up.
It's a
yes.
song. Ben.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Yeah.
I don't want to tell you.
Where Ben's like, oh my God, I'm still in for one night.
It's okay. He's like, but there's too much pressure.
What's wrong with you people?
I just.
All right. So you're building, you're doing this woodworking.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Right,
calling it woodworking is very generous.
Okay.
Yeah. Is there wood involved?
Yes.
Are you working to build something? Yes.
No. I'll show you a picture of it. It's very cute.
Uh-huh.
It's just painting it, you know. And again, I'm not an artist, so.
Where are you painting it? Do you outside and have like a table?
I have a little table outside that I'm doing it on, a shelf, basically.
And so you started at the beginning of the summer. You got all the parts together.
Right. I started, but I got the last part that I needed this weekend at this woodworking, you know. It's very cool. It's called Rocklers.
But it's a birdhouse, not a bird bath.
No. Correct. Right. It's a birdhouse.
Your birds
it's
are not bathing
cute.
In this. They're living in it.
They're feeding it. Birdhouse is more of a feeder.
They have to find somewhere to live because they built a nest above my garage right now, and I'm so worried, you know, that they're going to fall out.
We have a lot of birdhouses in our backyard. I live with my parents. Just for those
you do?
I have dreams of Griffin living with us.
Putting that out there.
Yeah.
Get out.
Yes.
Yes, when I got divorced 2
Jennifer,
years ago, where was I going to go?
I love you even more now. You're living with
you.
Living with the folks.
Yes.
After getting divorced,
course.
Even better.
Yes.
My friend got to use an emotional
support. Like bright red right now.
My friend got to use an emotional support dog on an airline for that reason.
I have an emotional support animal.
But you don't live with your parents.
Oh, no, I do not live with my parents.
That was her excuse.
That's true.
That she
also
said,
I'm getting my pilot's license, so you do the math and figure out how that worked. I don't know.
She can fly with you.
But we have my dad loves birdhouses. So,
I'm going to show you mine. I'll show you.
You know, does all these projects. So we have all these birdhouses, but we have all of these birds. I mean, in the smallest one possible, I don't know how many birds are packed in there.
What types of birds? Like. Like robins?
Regular
what do you mean? Regular birds.
Cardinals, Oriole. Do you not even notice the differences? No.
No, I know. I see. Oh, I
the swallows?
Like
you're funny. Regular birds.
Like swallows. Like they're hooting. And they're just hooting. And they're flying at you and they're just hooting.
They're just like nice.
What are you doing?
Brown, like a mixture of brown fur.
What? Is this a type of bird that you're doing?
Yeah, it's a swallow.
Okay.
Don't feed them. Babies are they're crammed in this birdhouse, and we have all these other birdhouses.
Right,
but then there have been a few like babies
that
we found that
that's why
I'm worried
about.
That's
just part of the issue.
But I'm like, oh my gosh! Then you see all the birds lined up on the garage. Like I'm like, we're not killing your babies.
I feed them all the time.
I feel like they're ready to attack.
I do.
You feed them pancakes.
I do.
See,
they
like that.
Now I'm hungry for pancakes. Do you put syrup on it first?
Don't feed them wild bird seed. It just makes them more wild.
No, I just feed pancakes. I love the pancakes.
My mom, our neighbor just moved, and our neighbor had a cat named Fat, of all things. It was P-H-A-T.
Fat. He's fat.
That's fat. And my mom is, I think my mom is relieved because she has a birdhouse in our backyard, and Fat would just sit there just waiting for the, and like, you know, that sort of hunting.
Yeah, they have the butt and tail.
Oh,
yeah.
Man, they get all hunched down.
And they do that mouth thing of like.
That cat was just waiting for dinner. Yeah. It always made me sort of concerned for the birds. Like, it's a trap.
Yeah. You're like, you want to tell the birds, and they're like, tweet, tweet, tweet. They're like, hooting, just flying around.
Here comes Fat.
Yeah, here comes.
Yeah.
One paw.
It's all good stuff.
Oh, it's the
circle. You're like
Dr. Circle of,
Doolittle with all your
my noises.
Noises, yeah.
It's a circle of life.
It is. It is. 312-981-7200. Do you have a summer project that you are in the middle of? Don't spit your water out. Why are you trying not to spit your water out?
Because I'm like, do you have a summer project in which you support nature and killing it, killing each other.
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, no, Andrea's getting through her summer project. I have things from last summer I have not finished. And I want to know if you have a summer project, because the time is, TikTok people, TikTok for your summer projects.
Winding down.
It is winding down.
It is. 312-981. It's August.
Yeah. It's August on Wednesday.
Make it stop. Everyone slow down. Don't let it happen. Okay, August is coming. 312-981-7200. We will help you get through that project that you're trying to finish. Just, even if it's just your emotional support animal, I will be your emotional support animal. More after this on 720 WGN. It's a Patty Vasquez Show with Andre Darlis.
Well, everybody's heard about the bird. Bird, bird, bird. The bird's the word. Well, a bird, bird, bird. Bird is the word. Well, a bird, bird, bird. Well, the bird is the word. Well, a bird, bird, bird. The bird's the word. Well, a bird, bird, bird. Bird is the word. Well, a bird, bird. The bird's the word. Well, a bird, bird, bird. The bird's the word. Well, a bird, bird, bird. The bird is the word. Well, a bird, bird. The bird's the word. Well, don't you know about the bird? Well, everybody knows that the bird is the
word. You're listening to the Patty Vasquez Show with Andre Darlis. We're continuing to having our production
off-the-air meeting.
On-the-air, off-the-air meeting.
Right.
Because Patty couldn't show up for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
right. I didn't know.
Right, right.
I was on the call.
It was so funny.
I was on the call.
Isn't it weird, though? I know this will be a whole separate topic for a whole separate day. Texting is so weird now. I mean, all I can say, all you can say is like, oh, hey, Patty, what does that mean?
Yeah.
I had a friend say one time, I said, oh, I'm stuck in traffic. And she said, okay, thanks. And I was like, oh, what does that mean? Are you not sympathetic to the fact that I'm stuck in traffic? She's I didn't mean anything by it.
In quotes, I'm stuck in traffic.
Right. Winky emoji.
Right. Maybe emotionally, I'm stuck in traffic. There's a lot blocking.
But there's so much that's misconstrued.
Texting is hard. Yeah.
Yeah. I love a good confusing text. I sent my mom a text today. This is not an exaggeration. This is what happens. I'm going to just pull it up real quick. And it said, we're pushing back, my love. I love you. Three kisses.
Oh.
That was a mistake text.
Oh, what was it supposed to go?
It was supposed to go to my fiance now, Bridget. But I sent it to my mom. It was an accident.
Oh no.
My mom, I'm sure, is looking. She's pushing back. What is happening? I was on a plane. Right. So I text Bridget when I'm pushing, when the plane pushes back.
From the gateway.
Right. See?
The jetway.
Okay, right.
Yeah, right. Back. See, now it makes sense to you. But imagine, just as you were my mom.
She'd be like,
because I sent it to my mom. Hold on. I sent my love message to my mother.
And she was confused by it?
Yeah, she just said, I don't know what that means, but thank you, and I love you too.
Oh my God.
Hey, Mom, wheels down.
That's the part.
We have an HR director at Channel 9. Her name is Juana, and she's a wonderful woman. You know Juana. She's a wonderful girl. My ID, you know, gets us into the building, and it gets me into the TV station.
As it should.
It was deactivated, so it was up against my cell phone or something. Yeah. So I sent her a text, and I said, hey, Juana, I'm sorry my ID got deactivated. Can you just, like, type in your little keyboard and reactivate it? She went, yeah, no problem. Absolutely. But what, did I get a name change? And when I typed out, hey, Juana.
Oh, gosh.
Juana.
What it is.
I wonder if it would have made any difference. Probably not.
It said Wiener. W-E-I-N. Don't ask me how J-U-A-N-A became W-E-I-N-E-R.
Your
like
Wiener.
Anthony Wiener. And I went, oh my God. And of course, the head of HR. I went, Juana, I love it. I'm so sorry. I was all thumbs. It was spell check. And thank God. Thank God she's a normal, fun, you know, great person. Like, Juana, I'm so sorry that happened.
I love that went to HR.
Yeah, me too. And that was many years ago, so it can't do anything now.
Yeah, it's too late.
The statute of limitations is over.
I sent my friend Amy a message, and I said, do you have a bicycle here? She just moved, relocated to the whimsical land of Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Ooh.
Do you have a bicycle here? Her response was, are you high?
Is it not a bike friendly?
Evidently not. It's 115 degrees at any one moment. Oh, so okay. I guess. But she, you know, that was her response. I mean, do I answer that literally or?
Dear Juana,
are you high?
Dear Juana, are you high? Have you had many text messages with your Uber driver?
What?
Yeah, you got to do that. You guys are missing out.
No. Stop. By the way, from the 630, Brian says, I'm stuck in traffic. But Daphne means I'm stuck in traffic equals I'm driving. I can't talk right now.
Okay. Well, I thought it meant something else. I'm stuck in traffic. I
still think it was meant as something mean. Thanks.
Thanks for that. Are you high right now, Daphne?
No.
No.
Not right now.
I'm re-asking the question that your friend was asking. Why would you not have a bike in Tulsa, Oklahoma?
I don't know, but she thinks that it means just asking the question. Are you high? Do you have a bike here? Are you high?
Do you mean a 10-speed or a hog?
No, just a bicycle. I said, do you have a bicycle here?
Okay.
And her response was, are you high?
Maybe she meant, are you serious?
Yeah, like she
are
meant...
Are you stuck in traffic?
Yeah, are you stuck in traffic? What's wrong with you?
Everyone's getting a little bit.
I feel a little testy.
So what's better, a sort of vague text response or just ignoring you guys completely? Was that bad?
Oh, don't ignore.
I didn't know.
But you didn't know. I thought you were just meant in general.
No, but I just love that I like sidebarred Stephanie. I'm like, hey, can we just do this Wednesday? And didn't even know you guys were all trying to get a hold of me.
And I was so I would have been so happy with that.
Yeah.
But then when she called back, she's like, I think Patty's mad. She's not responding.
No. So what I was telling you off the air is that Declan has to have surgery, and so in order to get him cleared for surgery, we have to have his paperwork done from the pediatrician. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing. So Steve is handling all of the medical information, and it's interesting because we have this sort of 1950s relationship where I am the dude in the, like, I come home and I'm like, so how are the kids today? Good. Where's my dinner? And I know that sounds sort of archaic, but in the sense that I'm calling it the dude. I think this can happen.
It's funny you referring to yourself as the dude.
But it works.
The dude.
My husband is a stay-at-home dad, and he has been responsible in taking care of all of Declan's sort of like the paperwork, the doctor's visits, whether it's the dentist or meeting with the nurses or the physical therapist, the occupational therapist, the hippotherapist. He does all of these things. But he was talking to one of the doctors, and then it came to the point where the medical history went all the way back to Declan's birth, which was when I was the stay-at-home, full-time parent at home, and Steve didn't realize. So Declan's medical history is that he was on life support. Steve didn't realize that Declan had been on life support for 3 days and had to be on oxygen for 28 days. So so now his surgery, even though Declan is now 13 years old, they're like, oh, okay, how is he going to respond to this medication? Right. How does his medical, and you don't realize how much your medical history, even to the point where, like, no matter how much stronger or healthier Declan has got, the fact that he started life out so vulnerably, they're like, okay, how's this surgery going to work? So, yeah, I missed some of your messages today. More after this on 720 WGN.
Bicycle, bicycle, bicycle.
I want to ride my
bicycle.
Well done, Ben, filling in for our Michael Heidemann, who is on vacation. You want to ride your bicycle, but
I do.
But your friend is can't do it in Tulsa. Apparently.
She's not committed.
No,
at all.
It's Dr. Daphne Scott joins us in studio. We haven't had her in a while. Actually, the first time that Andrea Darrows has met her.
First time we met.
First time.
And the first time my motivational Monday experts have been in the same room at the same time. Esmeralda, I feel like my head is going to explode from all the positivity.
From all the
so
motivation.
So much positivity happening right now.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It is.
It felt like a hurricane came. When you all came into the news traffic studios.
Well, and by the way, I just sprayed myself with some Jovan Musk because I keep asking Jen Zanotti what she uses, and so I'm using it to mask all of the champagne from the sabering.
The sabering. Which went in
that
the garbage.
That was pretty intense.
Which went in the garbage and immediately out of the studio, so not a drop spilled in this room.
No. Yeah, wait, you sabered a champagne bottle?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Danny sabered it.
Isn't that cool? Yeah, Danny sabered it.
Yes. It was very interesting to watch.
Wasn't it cool?
Yeah. It was a lot of fun to watch. So, Esmeralda, do you start your day off with like any sort of a habit with like, do you drink like a couple glasses of water?
Nope.
Do you do any of these tonics?
I do nothing. I roll over and
let me be brief. This nonsense again, being awake. I get it.
Yeah.
Well, I've started doing some of the, I do water and then I do lemon, ginger, and turmeric, apparently.
No, that's good. My mom actually, her doctor told her she had a very tiny, 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 tiny kidney stone.
Oh.
And that they're going to try to flush it out. With lemon and water.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah, they told her to every morning to drink lemon and water.
Well, so that actually helps with this question, because the 708 was listening to us earlier with Jen Zanotti talking about how you start your day with just a half a lemon and some ginger.
Yes.
And you take turmeric supplements.
Yes.
They want to know how much water am I supposed to mix into that lemon and ginger?
Yeah.
I mean, if you need to dilute it, I do not. I just use straight up lemon and ginger.
Yes.
And shoot it back.
I wasn't sure if they were going to be
concentrated.
Like, yeah, it's very, but it is, it gives you a kick.
It
you're
does.
Like, oh, you're like, oh, that's a little tingle, like the muscles right here go.
You have to be ready for it. I don't know if you saw my actual video where I drank it.
Do you juice the ginger?
Or do you just grate it up? No, you can grate it up, or you can use even like an organic ground ginger is fine too.
Oh, see, I could
if you probably. Don't have fresh ginger, but it's I mean, it's pretty intense, but it's great. And I, you know, knock on wood, I swear by it.
I have my ginger's about 4 or 5 years old. I was trying to remember how old that ginger was, and I thought this isn't going to go well if I just go get
new ginger.
Yes, yeah.
The fresher the better.
Yeah. What was that as?
Is it ground?
I use ground and fresh. I go between whichever I have, but nope. you don't want ground
ginger. But Patty's
ginger
old ginger. I was like, what is it? The size of a raisin now?
Yeah, no, it's I have like this huge container. Apparently I had high hopes for using ginger in my life. Like, it's this massive container of just ground ginger, and I bought these.
It's like 5 years old.
Right. I'm like, I don't know how.
Maybe start fresh.
Going to be.
The little root. Yeah. You can get the little root. It's very cheap. It's like 50 cents.
It is. And then
fresh. And you can just like shave it, grate it.
Yeah. I've been doing that. I've been grating it, and my husband walked in the kitchen and goes, whew, I don't know what's going on in here, but I don't want to be any part of it. So anyway, that's a listener wanted to know. I wanted to let them know that you don't dilute it at all.
No.
And perhaps that has the potency of that makes
sense. That lemon, did you see that? That lemon is from our lemon plant.
Yes.
Oh, that was at my parents' house once again.
Where you live with your mom. Where you live with your mom.
And your dad.
Where do they live?
And Ruby.
In Highwood.
And
right?
Ruby.
No, wait a second. You said lemon. Okay. You said lemon plant. Like, do you have a lemon tree?
I will send you a picture.
What?
When I get home.
Wait, we or they?
Of the lemon. No. We.
Is it in a greenhouse?
No, it was indoors. Now it's outside. What? We bring it indoors for the winter, fall and winter.
What?
I want a lemon
tree. It's amazing. The lemon, I can show you a picture of the actual lemon.
Well, I want to see it. I'll show you my
on the tree. It's huge.
But it's in a pot.
How long does it take to...
Yeah, I mean...
It took a few years. We actually just like transplanted two in other pots. For relatives.
So you have these in pots
to get those to grow.
I like how you say pots.
In pots.
Yeah. Pots.
Yeah. Pots. So you have them in pots. So you can bring them in and out. That's the thing. You can bring them in and out. Because in Illinois, I mean, this is sort of unheard of that you'd have a lemon anything.
Right. I mean, this one is flourishing. We've had it for years. Wow.
I want to see a picture of it.
But you know, Daphne, our friend Charles Turk has, Dr. Charles Turk.
Yeah, Charles.
Has the doc. He has pear trees in his backyard in Highwood. So there's,
it can happen. But lemons are, I mean, the citrus.
I want to grow fruit.
The citrus in Illinois.
Look at that lemon.
Let's see.
Yeah.
You grew that at your parents' house? I mean, you can't appreciate. Whoa. She's showing a coffee cup, and next to it is a lemon. It's basically the same size, grown here in Illinois.
Now, why do you juice that without using like a juicer so that you can get rid of the seeds?
Oh, you can, but
the seeds annoy me. Like,
being
I was trying to get the seeds out. I'm like, why did she not use a thing?
You can totally use the thing.
Hold on a second.
No.
You're eating the seeds?
No. I took the seeds out.
She fishes them out, which to me, I'm like, well, I don't need that step.
But you don't want to fish out the seeds. I was just thinking, Patty says, do this.
Do the video. Yes, you're right. Do the video every day. So, because I have my little juicer. I have one of those ones that catches it in a little cup. Ez has a whole wall of gadgets.
I don't even believe that. But she's not using them because she just rolls over in the morning and goes, ugh.
Well, I don't use them all at the same time when I wake up. I have them
all. All right, what gadgets? I want to know what gadgets you have.
So, I actually have a juicer. I have a citrus juicer that when you touch the top of it, it goes, it starts moving. Do you have that kind
of exciting?
That's automatic juicer.
I feel like we need this for your videos.
Although, I just literally cut it in half and squeezed it.
Yes.
All right, so you have an automatic juicer. What else?
So I have a juicer. I have a stand mixer. I have a magic bullet. I have a regular blender. I have an Instant Pot.
Why Instant Pot? Yeah.
The Instant Pot's really good.
Yeah.
What else?
I heard a lot about Instant Pot.
Rice cooker, yeah.
Waffle maker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, waffle maker. I love a big fan of the waffle maker.
Rice cooker.
I have a rice cooker, yeah.
What's the difference between your Instant Pot, a crock pot, and a rice maker?
I've heard that I've had those before I had the Instant Pot.
Yeah, the Instant Pot's
good. But I've heard that it's not that great for anything other than pressure cooking.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, that just cooks it faster, right? Quicker?
Well, instantly. Because instantly. It's called Instant Pot. It cooks it instantly.
It pressure cooks like the crock pot.
It's a fancy pressure cooker, pretty much.
Yeah, basically. That you can't hurt yourself with. I mean, you know, back exactly. in my mom's day, she's like, pressure cooker should be very, very careful. And there's that thing that spun on the top, you know?
Yes.
It's like you blow up the house.
Exactly. The only thing that you have to fear is the steam that comes out.
Yeah.
And they tell you don't stick your face in it.
Yeah. Have you ever seen someone that has a steam burn?
There you go.
Yep. Have you seen a steam burn? I saw a steam burn before. It was my math teacher in eighth grade. She had a steam burn when she had lifted up the top of something and like burned her forearms.
Oof.
Oh, I'm sure. It was a steam burn. And these big old blisters on it. It was nasty.
No, they're very, I mean, the steam gets really, really, really hot.
Yeah.
So, yeah, don't stick your face in it.
All right.
Yeah. Well, I would also put it like
or anything.
All the gadgets. You know what I want? You know, Steve and Johnny was in the studio and she was telling me how much she loves these fryer. It looks like air fryers. And it looks like
my mom has one.
Does she like it?
Yeah, she loves it.
Is that for like a turkey or chicken?
Oh, the
No, for like potatoes.
She makes french fries in it.
Yep.
We have the indoor
turkey fryer?
Turkey fryer, which we had gotten my parents.
Come on.
Yeah. Wow. Wait, an indoor? That seems very dangerous.
No, you can do it's this contraption.
I'm going to do
it. I mean, we have the regular like turkey fryer that you can do outside. That's a little more dangerous.
That's intense. Do you ever watch Gilmore Girls? On Gilmore Girls, there's an episode where they want Suki to do the turkey fryer outside, mm-hmm. and she's drinking the whole day, so she ends up like just throwing everything in there. Just want to see if it would fry. So like, I think I put my shoe in there. Enjoy.
Did it work?
It's a turkey fryer. It just fries anything. Whether or not you're supposed to eat it is a different thing altogether.
Oh,
Jen Zanotti, how can people find out more about the work that you're doing, helping people find their potential and get motivated to do that thing that they've always dreamt of?
They can follow me on Instagram at JZBeautyandTheBeast and go to my website at JenZanotti.com.
Excellent. Thank you so much. Have a great night. I know that you've got to run.
I kept
you an extra segment for the ginger water. By the way, from the 301, as far as ginger goes, I was always more of a Marianne guy. So there you go. Tell me what's making you happy tonight. 312-981-7200 as we roll into the very last segment of the show. What's making you smile tonight? 312-981-7200. We'll be back in a moment on 720 WGN.
Hello world, hear the song that we're singing. Come on, get happy.
Come on, get happy. You're listening to the Patty Vasquez Show with Andre Darlos. There's plenty of things that can make us angry or make us want to go yelling into the night. We can disagree about stuff, but at the end of the conversation, we want to know what's making you happy. And mine's very easy because Dr. Daphne Scott is in studio, and I'm so happy that you messaged me and said, "Hey, I'm in town." I haven't seen you all summer. I can't remember the last time I saw you.
I don't either. I don't remember either.
You moved.
It's been several months.
There were oysters involved. That's all.
There were oysters and crab.
There were oysters. We were at Shaw's.
That's our thing.
Yes,
that's our thing.
Are they open?
not right now, but that's typically where we go.
Don't they have reverse happy hour? Don't they have the late night appetizers?
I don't know, but I'm open to experiencing it.
Oh, it's
and we get a bottle of Rombauer.
Yes,
my favorite white wine in the world, Chardonnay.
Yes, and we have a lovely conversation and talk about our plans for making life. Movies and projects that we're working on.
Yeah,
yes.
Very nice. Yeah.
And I haven't seen you in a while because you've been busy traveling around the world. And apparently, I see her posts and like I love being an adult with a credit card.
And I'm a grown woman with a credit card.
There
we go.
I have to say that I was like, "Oh, you're just a couple hours away from me," and I guess we were passing each other at one point, but I couldn't even message you. When I was in Mount Pleasant, Michigan.
Yeah. You were in Mount Pleasant. I was in New Buffalo, Michigan.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, how funny is that?
Yeah.
But there was like passing ships.
I know.
Yeah. And you know, when I'm in Michigan, that's where my family is. So it's just
you're with them.
It's full on.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's but
family
now
commitment.
Yeah,
are
it
you,
is.
After so, are you planning on staying in Oklahoma City or? Is that a permanent thing?
I'm going to be in Oklahoma City. I'm in Oklahoma City. That's where my base is now. And as luck would have it, Patty, I now have a place officially in New Buffalo, Michigan.
Okay.
Oh, nice.
So that's I will be cool. Between the two. Yeah. Right. And then Chicago is, I mean, I lived here for almost just shy of 17 years. So
you
fall in love with this city.
Wow.
Yeah, you put in your time, and B, you fall in love with the city. I mean, that's just, there's nothing like it.
Oh,
I travel all over the world. And when I say all over the world, I have clients in Jamaica, Puerto Rico, Canada. I mean, I travel everywhere, Europe, France. And, there's nothing like Chicago.
I have to agree. I love my city.
I will be honest, I do not miss the winter.
I do not miss it.
That's what I always said. If I retire and move somewhere warm, which I hope to do, I always want to have either like a condo here, a townhome, just something.
Yeah, come back. Yeah, it's absolutely beautiful over here.
It's home.
You don't want to worry about the shoveling and all that stuff.
I don't want to be cold anymore.
Nope, don't miss the cold. I do not miss the cold. That is absolutely true.
Yeah.
And Oklahoma City, you know, it gets cold, you know, 30 degrees. They get more ice. They get ice. They don't get snow. They get ice. So that's a bit inconvenient, but it just doesn't get cold like it is here. And I want to tell you, if you haven't been there, do you know what shocked me the most about Oklahoma City, besides the lack of congestion?
What?
Was the restaurants, the food.
And how is it?
Amazing.
I'm sorry, Oklahoma, let me not sound so surprised.
I know.
Huh.
I was really worried about that, because being in Chicago, you get the best of the best here, absolutely, in terms of food. And I was really worried that when I went there, you know, I'd miss out on that. And I have been ridiculously shocked. And then when I moved there, what you should know is I moved Labor Day last weekend. I drove down Route 66 to get to Oklahoma City. And Route 66 starts, it's on Adams. It starts right in front of the Art Institute of Chicago.
Right.
And you follow it all the way down to Oklahoma City, you know, and I stopped there, obviously, to go to California, but I stopped there because that's where I was going to live. So, you know, there's this like amazing connection.
I agree. So, it's one end to the other end. It doesn't end in, does it end in Oklahoma City?
No. It carries on to L.A., but that was the only, you know, I highly recommend that everyone do it, because I learned so much, you know, about our history and the United States. And it turns out that Route 66 is the second most visited tourist destination in the United States, next to New York City.
I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either.
Have you ever done the route?
Mm-mm.
Ben, have you done the route? No?
Totally worth it.
No, Esmeralda, have you done any of the Route 66?
I saw part. There's some in L.A., isn't there?
Yeah.
So that's where it ends. That. Yeah, it was the connection.
I used to work in Joliet many years ago.
Yes.
And there's a little sign that says Historic Route 66.
Yeah.
And
I've seen part of it.
Yeah, so I drive on that little stretch every day. I'm like, oh, someday I'm going to do the whole thing.
Yeah.
I've never aspired to do that.
You might, cool, Patty, though. you might enjoy it. I mean, it's interesting because the highway now, the major highways, you know, run in off in many parts of it run parallel to the original Route 66. So it's, you know, in parts, not all, but in parts. And what's so amazing to think about and to realize is that this two-lane road was the only connection between what we now know as Los Angeles to Chicago.
Okay.
Arizona.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't even know the word.
The most preserved part of it, go figure, is in actually Oklahoma. So the part that remains most the same
is in Oklahoma.
It's in Oklahoma, yeah.
So it's interesting.
Have you seen Midwest City and find? Someone says you should go to Midwest City and find Mr. Spriggs Barbecue right next to OKC.
I have not gone to Mr. Spriggs Barbecue, but I am familiar with Midwest City, and I would say check it out. In Oklahoma City itself, it's quite surprising, actually. I've been very, very, very happy there. Interestingly enough,
that is so cool.
Yeah,
I'm not happy that you're happy.
Well, I'm not happy that you're here.
Well, I can't do anything about that.
Well, that's true. Well, similar.
The boys have school.
Yeah, okay, whatever. Patty, your family and kids, whatever.
Move the show to Oklahoma City.
There was a weekend when I was trying to. I think it was Bridget's birthday, and I was trying to figure out a way to get to Oklahoma City. But there were no direct routes from flying. I was in Los Angeles for meetings, and I couldn't go from Los Angeles to Oklahoma City.
Yeah, there still aren't. Direct.
I was going to have to fly to Montreal or something.
Oh God, to New York and then back.
I'm like, what?
There's
nonsense.
A direct. You can go direct, obviously. Oklahoma to Chicago. There's a direct. Now, they just, Frontier Airlines in the fall is starting direct from Oklahoma City to San Antonio and Austin. There's basically only 26, I say only because I'm used to O'Hare, only 26 direct flights out of Oklahoma City.
All right.
So, you know.
All right.
But well, Chicago to Oklahoma City, Patty, I mean,
cheaper, Southwest, right?
Yeah, Southwest,
I'm sorry, I don't know this airline that you're talking about. I don't fly to Midway. I do not fly to Midway.
No, I fly out of O'Hare. I'm an American.
That's, I'm an United.
So you got to go out of O'Hare.
I'm more of a Southwest / American.
Well, you can still, you know, either one.
Yeah.
Direct to
Oklahoma
City.
I'm loyal to both.
Check it out.
Ben, do you fly out of Midway?
I have, but y'all are going to hate me. You can get a direct flight to Tulsa from here.
Yeah, you can. Yes, you can.
Yeah, but she's in Oklahoma City.
Tulsa. Yeah, but you can go here direct.
You can drive from
That's
Tulsa.
That's right. Tulsa's not that far.
A pretty drive, too.
I've done that.
It's not far. It's an hour.
It's like driving across Tatooine.
You know what Tatooine is?
I only need my, I want my hovercraft if I'm going to be doing that. Yeah. Well, I appreciate it.
Because everything in Chicago, we always say, oh, it's a half an hour, no matter what it is.
Yeah, you got to lie to people.
Oh, totally.
How far away is that? About half an hour. Like half hour.
Yeah, but an hour here is like you've only gone 5 miles. An hour in Oklahoma, you've traveled like 100. I mean, that's true. It's completely.
That is totally true.
What are the, now, do you drive your bike? Your motorcycle?
Yeah, my Harley. Yeah.
Your bicycle?
Oh, yeah.
Your bicycle? Absolutely.
Yeah. My bicycle. Harley. My Harley, yeah. It's the best. I mean, open road. I mean, there's just nothing in your way.
Live to ride, ride to live.
Yeah.
Do you have, now, does your helmet come with something that protects you from having to swallow bugs?
Full face helmet, okay. Yeah. Well, if you don't, I mean, everybody has the reality is reality. You know, if you're going to fly off your bike in an accident, you are going to probably more than likely go over your handlebars.
Okay.
Your hands will go out first. Your face will hit second. So a full face helmet is really your best bet to not have your head destroyed. I mean, that's just reality. Right. I mean, that's just the logic.
I had this moment. I was talking to a police officer. I was at a lifeguard reunion at North Avenue Beach, and he was talking about being on the job, and he was wearing a sleeveless shirt and had this sort of massive scar right here. Mm-hmm. And I thought maybe it was something work-related, and I said, may I ask what happened here? And he told me it was road burn.
Yeah, from, road rash.
Road rash. He had, and now he always wears a helmet, always wears a leather jacket, tries to make sure that people are informed of, you know, look, it's not a matter of, sometimes it's not a matter of when, but if.
Yeah.
He said it's not always under your control. There's other drivers.
Usually not.
Well, and I've been, and this isn't how I meant to end the show, but I I don't know how motorcyclists do this, especially since we're all so distracted.
Yeah.
You have just thousands of people who are paying no attention to someone coming up out in their blind spot or weaving in and out of traffic.
Or texting. Oh my God.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, as a motorcycle driver, I am so much more vigilant just as a driver in general.
Right.
And when you're on a motorcycle, if you're really being honest with yourself, you know that no one can really see you. I mean, you're pretty much 90% of the time in someone's blind spot. So
You got to be proactive.
That makes sense. You are vigilant. You have both hands on, you know, the handlebars and then you can, there's no way you can text. I don't think you can text while you're on a motorcycle.
No.
Well, my good
news. I can't.
Again, it's been great to have you. We also, some other folks texting in their good news. I found from the 740, I found my Lou's pizza card. That is good news.
Awesome. That's great news.
Yes. Yeah. Brian says, I haven't hit a deer in northern Wisconsin. So I guess everyone has their own idea of what
what happiness is.
Great news.
Yes. From
happiness
the,
is dot, dot, dot.
301, Patty, Andre, and Esmeralda, you all make me smile. So that's good. I hope that they keep smiling as Domati Pongo and Griffin Filipich come in studio. They're taking over.